another exciting broadcast day.
Oh, good times. Phone number 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Something I was thinking about as I was driving in this morning, I forgot to share with you last weekend when I was in Tribeca, a little trendy part of New York City. I realized I knew where Tribeca was because I've been there once or twice, but I also realized almost everyone who I knew didn't know where Tribeca was, which meant I'm either hanging around with the greatest people in the world or the dumbest people in the world. Because every time I said, I'm going to the Tribeca Film Festival, they're like, what part of Indiana is that in?
Oh, wow. I thought you were going to New York.
No, people in New York knew where it was. When I told friends and family members I'll be going to Tribeca, they said, what is that and where is that? There's not a human being I knew.
How would I know that?
Who's Rebecca?
My family doesn't have basic cable. So the point is...
How should I know?
I walked up and, you know, I was... I love some of the shops in New York, and I love... I don't know how they make money. You know, you go up and down one of these trendy streets. You see this place. It's 4,000 square feet, and there's one sofa for sale sitting in the middle of it. And it's 90 grand. Yes, they're fronting. They must be laundering money.
Because I can't figure it out. Businesses.
I went to the $50,000 mattress store. Yes.
The what?
There is, if you take a look at these highfalutin magazines, like the Robb Report.
Yeah.
And behind the scarab boats and the timeshare jets and Danny's dog, because it's the same
California
man.
Canine.
It's a great looking German Shepherd and a cute little 11-year-old blonde girl, and they're just sitting there next to the estate, and it's basically saying, "You're white, you're rich, you better get a German dog."
Yeah, you need a very serious dog.
So. The next page has a thing, you know, it'll say, like, when is a mattress worth $59,000?
When is it?
I have no idea, but I went to that store to find out.
A huge hot blonde in it.
Right.
And she stays there for 7 months.
Yeah, she's duct taped to it.
And turns into pizza when you're done with her.
That's right.
Did you sit on the $59,000 mattress?
I laid down on it.
How was it?
You know, that's the problem. It's like when they do one of those, $10,000 hoagies or something.
Yes.
It's like it can only get so good.
Right.
Once you pass $12 in the hoagie department, you flatline for the next 40 grand.
Right.
It's the same with the mattress, you know.
And the famous martini.
Right, right.
Yeah,
which has a diamond in it.
Yeah.
So, right. So I lay down. It's good. I just go in there with my buddies, a whim. Like, he's like, hey, buddy, let me show you the town, you know. So we're walking around. He's like, yeah, let me show you this. But the guy thinks he's going to make a sale. And right. I'm like, oh, all right, this is fun. All right, so what do you think? Fine, seems good. Okay, then. I'm like, well, what am I going to do? Throw it in the overhead storage? And then secondly, no, I'm not going to spend 50 grand on a mattress. And then the part...
I bet you would have... They'd thrown tires on it.
If they put wheels on it, I would have done it. Would have been like one of those race car beds,
right.
I never got. Then one of these things that the guy said, my buddy later on told me, was insulting. And maybe it was. And it probably was. You know those things you say, sometimes you're asking a question, but you're actually insulting somebody simultaneously?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I said, well, first off, this wasn't the insulting part. I said... You know, it would be funny. I said, if everyone who comes in here sits down, you know, they have mattresses for $42,000 all the way up to like 59. But every time somebody comes in and sits down on the mattress and says, how much for the mattress? And you say $59,000 and they go, wow, that's a lot of money for a mattress. You should say, I know, sir. And we've realized that. And that's why. I'd like to show you this futon for $21,000. We understand that not everyone has $59,000 to spend on a mattress, but if I could just show you the futon. He didn't see the humor in that. But the other thing he didn't find the humor in.
I love that when you say something, they just don't find the humor.
They just look at you, or they go, we're working on a futon, but it's only going to be $17,500. So I don't know who told you 19. They get really weird and serious, but But here's the insulting part, and this happened to me once before when a salesperson was wearing a $4,000 bomber jacket when I thought, I want a bomber jacket. How much was that one? I said the same thing to this guy. This guy says, I have one. It's out of this world. I have one of these $50,000 mattresses at home. I imagine his apartment, you know? And I was like, do you own this place? No. Wow. It's a pretty good chunk of change for a sales guy. Well, it's worth it. Really? $50,000? That seems like a year's pay. And then, as my friend explained to me, I'm starting to get insulting at a certain part because you're going, listen, I'm a big C, possibly even B-list celebrity who I'm sure makes 20 times what you make. I would never squeeze the trigger on a $50,000 mattress. Never. It's just not in my vocabulary. I was talking to David Alan Greer about watching a pay-per-view over the weekend and started to get a little sweaty when I realized it was $41, you know, much less a mattress for $50,000. So I didn't want to keep going, but it was like that. Well, I'm sure you get a discount.
Right.
But then you start thinking, well, what kind of discount? It's a $50,000 mattress.
Sure, it might have been more diplomatic to say, wow, even with a 50% employee discount, $30,000, that's what you make in a year.
That's the part. So I started thinking, well, all right, I'm sure the guy gets himself a discount. He's not paying $50,000. But most discounts, when you work at a store, are not 80%. It's like 10%. But maybe it's 25%. Maybe it's 50%. Still, this guy's paying $30,000 for a mattress. And now that begs the question, A, how does he afford that? And then B, I don't like knowing that my $59,000 mattress can be given away to somebody for half the price, no big deal.
Right.
And the other thing is, a service guy, a sales guy at a mattress store who has a $50,000 mattress has not seen it in 3 years. Because he's working to pay it off at his four jobs.
I imagine there's just some sort of change slot next to it that he had to just keep feeding rolled up 20s into. But
magic fingers. Remember magic fingers?
Well, speaking of magic fingers, I then went down the street, and again, I'm in Tribeca, walking down the very trendy part of Tribeca, and then I go to the super upscale sex store. The one.
Yeah,
they have these things.
It was in Sex and the City. That's
it was.
Yeah.
Only in Tribeca would you have something with, you know, it's a $300 vibrator and so it stuffs in a glass case and it looks like stuff from, looks like it's on display as if it's at a museum, except for it's the C-Ring Museum.
Right.
And there was this funny thing where my buddy was trying to walk me through all the different things and the shapes, because it's hard to tell if something is a potato peeler, shrimp deveiner, or a dildo. It really is. When you're staring at it in a glass case, you're like, what is this? Is this a car part, or did you use it on a woman? You can sort of do the math. So there's this one thing that sort of crescent shaped, and it's made of sterling silver, and it's about the size of half a bagel. And I'm staring at it thinking, which side's the business end? I don't see a grip side. I don't know what side goes where. And the guy comes around. And my friend is one of these guys.
You had me at bagel.
my friend is one of these guys who seems to enjoy these kinds of interactions where I stray away from them. You know, I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Where are the batteries? Oh, so hold on. Sir, could you? Sir? He's waving.
I'm here with my friend Adam Carolla.
Yeah, it's like, listen. Listen, Dick, people recognize me. They don't recognize you. I look like I'm making a large ticket item. I'm buying a big ticket here. And you're waving. And of course the guy, and I'm like, don't talk to the guy. I don't want to, the guy comes over. Sir, now how's this work? It's like, really? I hate these people and I love them simultaneously. How can you be so liberated? This is the same guy, by the way, who I worked with on the Man Show, who, after going to Crazy Girls and turning in like a $2,300 receipt to the producers of the show saying we're on a Juggy Scout.
Nice.
Life is a Juggy Scout.
They said, they called the guy in and they said, look, $2,300 worth of Jello shots and lap dances. I mean, please, you really expect us to pay for this? I'll tell you what, we'll pay for it this time, but never again. And he just looked at him and went, oh, yes. Yes, we'll be going to strip clubs, and yes, you'll be getting more. And there's part of me that's like, shut up, shut up, shut up. And then the other part that's like, can I worship you?
Yeah, where do you get that? Can I build a small altar to you?
I would love to build an altar. I don't know where you get that moxie, those huevos. I don't know how you feel so entitled. I am trying to transform myself into a potted plant right now while you're standing on top of me yelling, more strippers.
More strippers.
At the people that just yelled at you. How do you do that? And by the way, I know what went on at Crazy Girls. Are you kidding me? This is humiliating.
You know, the saddest part of this story is if it comes down to whether it's a shrimp deveiner or a vibrator,
mm-hmm.
I only have use for a deveiner right now.
Wow. But if they combine the two, then your love of seafood and pleasuring women could finally be satisfied. So the guy comes around and I'm looking at this thing. Again, it's like sterling silver and it's sort of crescent shaped and about 3 inches long. And the guy's like, my buddy's like, so how exactly does this work? What do you do? And he says, well, it slips over the hand and thumb and forefinger, and the man can either use it on himself or he can pleasure his partner with it. And I'm like a hillbilly from North High. I'm like, so it works on a dingling and a cooch? And he's
nice,
like,
very nice.
No, his partner. I don't get it.
Me either.
This thing works. It's a gay guy.
Ah.
It's a gay guy thing. It works on your dingling and your partner's dingling. It's
everybody's
not,
dingling.
It's not a reversible windbreaker like I thought it was.
Depending on your mood.
By the way, in the history of reversible jackets, did anyone ever reverse it and wear it the other way?
Never, not once.
Never, not once. So I'm like, so let me... It works on the lady part. I mean, you want to talk about versatility because no two things can get further apart than that.
Well, I've seen a thing for both.
You have?
Remember the other day you said something about me having a laser sight for my wiener?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It kind of looked like that.
Mm-hmm.
Except it had two laser sights. A laser sight above.
Mm-hmm.
You wear a ring. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? Because I don't want to cross any lines here.
Right.
You wear a ring and one laser sight, but a vibrating thing,
mm-hmm.
was on top.
Uh-huh.
And one kind of, and that was like right on top, sat right on top. Then the bottom one had about, oh no, half an inch to an inch extension of plastic, and then another one.
That's for his pleasure?
No, that's, then, I'm not done.
All right.
Then there was something that kind of went around towards the back that was for his pleasure.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, I'm going to describe this, and you can see if you can tell me any way that you can say this.
Mm.
This is you.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
This is her.
Uh-huh.
Okay, wait. This is
you. We got
you.
The finger and the donut.
And this is radio.
Yeah, finger and donut.
This is right. The other thing that vibrates.
That's
above.
The thing up
other
top.
Thing that vibrates.
Above and below
right.
Donut.
And I can't make my finger do that, but that's the other thing that
yeah,
vibrates.
Yeah, it reaches around to the...
Reaches you.
Yeah. So a thing comes out, a gooseneck comes out. It's great until you find your... until you... Until you find your mom talking to it because she thinks it's a telephone headset.
Her phone's not working.
Also, I don't wear an earring because I'm scared it would get torn out and pull my lobe out with it. This is the same reason I would definitely not wear rock this thing in the bedroom.
Also, I noticed there was one moment when, and unfortunately, it was only a few months ago, which really bothers me, makes me nervous, that Gretchen came alive with this thing we bought.
Mm-hmm.
And I got kind of jealous of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Rabbit.
We just go, yeah. We just go, wow, where you been for the last 17 years?
Right.
It's like, oh, my God. And I'd be walking up the stairs, and you'd think there was a dentist in her room.
There's this balance when you can get to everything, which is everything becomes relative. If you grab a rabbit, pop an amyl nitrate, and do a big line of Coke before every time, and do it in front of a 45-inch big screen with hardcore porn on it, that will become the norm after a while, right. And then everything will be a huge letdown.
You so, blow out the pleasure receptors in your brain.
That's right.
Then you need too much.
That's what they said.
Blow some of those pleasure centers out on you.
That's what they said at rehab.
Thanks.
About me.
All right, yeah. We need
another
to
broken pleasure center.
We need to. That was the name of this place, by the way, with the $400 dildo. We need to take ourselves a break. Karch Karai, the biggest name in pro beach volleyball, Karch Karai. And as I was reading in USA Today, and I don't read, but I can read a colorful pie chart. It had professional athletes and the amount of time they spent in their prospective leagues. It was like George Blanda played 21 years in the NFL. But at the top of the list, Karch Karai, 25 years playing professional volleyball.
That's amazing.
We'll talk to, I'm sure he can barely walk anymore, but
I'll wheel him in.
You can never retire from pro beach volleyball because of the chicks.
Right.
I mean, think about that.
The girls who play are gorgeous.
Yeah. The girls who play are gorgeous. The girls who are there are gorgeous. I mean, you want to talk about
best bodies in sports.
You just, but you know, it's like I'm going to tell my son when he gets to high school, don't bother with the football team. Go out, go dance, go to theater, go whatever. That's where the chick. It's you. You got to beat out two gay guys. You're not gay, are you, son? Good. You got to beat out two gay guys, and then you're in with 13 horny chicks.
It's true.
Yep. Yep, there you are.
Beach volleyball is a... look, people look really good in a bikini doing Cuervo shots out in the sun who want to rub Paba on you after the match.
You don't drink like I do.
What are you doing?
Dismembered chicks look really hot after a couple of shots of tequila out in the hot sun.
I'm saying they're doing the shots out in the hot sun.
And then you're good looking.
And then I'm good looking.
Nice.
Thank you. We'll take a quick break. Karch Karai next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci. Here's what's coming up this morning with Program Director Jack Silver.
Second bottle of roofies, check. Salsa-flavored condoms, check. Brown underpants to conceal potentially embarrassing skid marks, check. Oh, hey, what up, peeps? Jack, man, just packing for the big San Diego trip tomorrow. For me, it's the soup. We got Joel McHale, ESPN's Kenny Mayne, beach volleyball legend Karch Karai, the host of ABC's 2020 John Stossel, Pro Bowl quarterback Matt Hasselbeck, and game walking. Holy crap, peeps. Today's show is more loaded than producer Angie after she won Adam's 10 grand in Outbrook August. Fight!
Thanks, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Karch Karai in studio. Got his AVP. That is this weekend, Thursday through Sunday, the Cuervo Gold Crown Huntington Beach Open. Good to see you, Karch.
Thank you. That was quite an eclectic group there in that promo. Let's see. Brown spots on the pants. John Stossel. Karch Karai. That's...
Is it Karai?
I've never heard that at 6:24 in the morning. That's an interesting
and
one.
We're, I know, and we had 20 minutes of vibrator talk before that. Disgusting. What? So, Karch, first off, congratulations on leading the world's greatest life.
You know, I still have to pinch myself 30 years later. Still playing this game. You talked about
don't you have some like 20-year-old beach babe that pinches you?
No, I've got my wife to pinch me.
That doesn't answer my question.
20... We just passed our 20-year anniversary this last December.
Oh, congratulations.
Really? Thank you.
Well, I mean, the idea that, well, first off, I'm looking at the your list of credits here. Four-time All-American at UCLA, three-time Olympic gold medalist.
Wow.
But the idea that most people struggle all year to get a few hours on the beach playing volleyball, I mean, you know, there's this weird thing, like, if you're a professional golfer, well, then you're getting paid to do what a lot of guys want to do on the weekend, but I don't know. It's sort of one foot in the grave for me. You're not really moving around very much. It's not very exciting. This is exciting, yet it's sort of exciting leisure. I mean, it's exciting fun. It's like what people do on a really fun weekend you do for a living.
How does it get? It can't get any better than that. You know, my office is at the beach, and I'm heading there right after this to get some practice in before the tournament this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Get paid to play a kid's game and make a wonderful living for my family.
Speaking about getting paid, it says that you've won over $3.1 million. Is that for you?
That is for me in pro beach volleyball. And when I started playing, there was no such thing as pro. There was no such thing as volleyball in place, beach volleyball in places like Chicago and Miami and Dallas and all over the country. So
it's amazing.
Just absolutely exploded.
It is quite the life.
It is. And it's unbelievable because 30 years ago, the first ever professional tournament was held just a little while from here, in a little ways from here in Santa Monica, California, sponsored by Jose Cuervo. And here I am playing in the third of our Triple Crown, the Jose Cuervo Gold Crown Series, this weekend in Huntington Beach. Like you said, you kind of had to wheel me in here. I don't know. I'm still walking, but.
Well, do you have injuries at 46?
Everything hurts a little to a lot at 46.
But
after
ultimately,
the good thing is you're in the soft sand.
Shoulders. Yes, I was going to say, is it better to be in the? It's probably better to be in the sand than it is to be on the blacktop or the hardwood or whatever.
The hardwood takes a lot out of you.
That's that particular move, I would imagine the hyperextended shoulder has got to be an almost constant injury.
Shoulders and knees are the big thing, and I've had a couple of shoulder surgeries, so you know it's just that constant thing. It's like a base. It's like we do what baseball pitchers do, except they get 4 days rest between every time, and we don't.
They don't get the ball hurled at them first and then bat it back.
And they don't have that contact at the top, so it takes a lot out of the shoulder.
What is the schedule? How long is the season, and then how many tournaments do you play?
This season has 18 events, so we're starting the first of 7 weekends in a row this weekend. We've already had 2 events in Miami. The first 2 legs of that Cuervo Gold Crown Series were in Miami and in Dallas. And we got 7 more coming right in a row, and then everybody's going to be playing pretty much right on through the late September time. So it's great.
Where did the name Karch come from?
That is Hungarian for Chuck. My father escaped from Hungary in 1956 during the failed revolution there and came over. And my real name's Charles, but they called me Karch since I was born.
So that's Hungarian because I had a Hungarian grandfather named Laszlo.
That's my dad's name. You got it.
You're kidding.
Really?
It's a very common name.
Did they call him Lutzi?
He's Laszlo. Yeah, they call him Lutzi. Exactly.
That was,
Hungarian. Not too many people know
Hungarian for pedophile. I don't know, you know that either.
Now you tell me.
Someone to mention that I watch Camp Laszlo, starring a little monkey in a cartoon. If anybody has any kids, that's my complete connection with Laszlo.
Was your dad born in Hungary?
Yeah. And he escaped when he was 21. And Laszlo Kira is a very, it just means Larry King in Hungarian, so it's a very common name there, but very uncommon here.
But a great interviewer. Hungarian is a novelty language. People don't realize, like when you hear people speaking French or German or Spanish, you go, "All right." And when you hear them speaking Hungarian, you're like, "Come on, knock it off."
It's only related to Finnish and one other language, which I can't remember.
Exactly, and that's why, my dad never taught it to me because he felt like it would be the most useless language in
the
world.
Every hot chick on that sand speaks fluent Hungarian. Please, Karch.
And B, every time I meet somebody who's Hungarian, they're so disappointed that I didn't learn anything but the bad words.
Well,
so.
Joe
Esterhaus.
Every once in a while, my grandfather, Lotsie's sister, Bougie, would come by, and she'd bring his brother, Bela.
I've got a Bela.
And Uncle Gabby, and he'd be like, "A neophyte pubnuck." And I'd be like, "What are you nut jobs talking about? It's a crazy novelty language, but let's not discount the food, people."
Yeah.
Hungarian food, solid. People don't know.
I don't know.
It is like, you know that real...
And I claim to know lots of stuff I don't know. I really don't know.
That stick to your ribs stuff that they have in Germany.
Have you had the no kedley?
Of course.
Man, good stuff.
Chicken paprikash.
This is amazing.
Don't call it paprika in front of Laszlo Gorog. Kick you in the ass.
Yeah, exactly.
Paprika. Yeah, so your dad's hardcore. And what did he do? Now, you grew up in Santa Barbara?
Yes, he came over here and became a doctor, and we moved to Santa Barbara.
He escapes the revolution and becomes a doctor.
Hungarian.
It's the American dream.
Hungarian Santa Barbara doctor. Not another Hungarian Santa Barbara doctor.
Was he a Jewish comic?
He played volleyball and soccer growing up, so those were the two sports I learned. He played on the Hungarian junior national team before he escaped, and played until just a couple of years ago. Kept playing again. What better place to do? He'd wear his trunks under his suit at the office, and then just strip down and play at the lunch hour with the lunch guys.
I gotta tell you, you know, a lot of people hear about these horrible parents and they want to go hug their folks. I hear about Karch's dad and I want to kill my dad. You old puss. You didn't do anything.
I actually want to disinter my dad.
Yes,
and kick his
right.
ass.
I know. Meanwhile, Dr. Cry is
putting
himself through school.
He's tall. He's tan.
Look at the product here. Tall, dark, and handsome is like the explanation.
How tall are you, Karch?
I'm a shrimp out here on our tour at 6'2". Just about everybody's taller than I am. But tall
girls
man's,
are taller.
Tall man's game, yeah.
Jerry Walsh is 6'3".
I'm just about 6'2", and everyone's taller than I am. You just lost me, bitch.
Danny's very he's very self-conscious.
My son at 15 passed me up at 6'3".
Oh, so really? Yeah.
One of our two boys.
Does
just
he sway?
Scary. Each generation, I don't know what we got in the water, but they get bigger and bigger.
My son, he's 6. First shot of tequila. 4.
That's right.
He's a chip off the old block.
So Karch, you grow up in Santa Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
Your dad's a doctor who likes to kick the soccer ball around and play volleyball. And now what? You go to high school?
Went to Santa Barbara High School, but he and I were, my dad and I were teammates the first four years that I played.
Dad, I know you're not listening, by the way. Karch's dad is listening.
Right.
If you're listening, I'm coming for you, buddy.
Winning
pry you off
such.
The sofa and give you a beating.
We kind of played our way up through the ranks, and then a little over 30 years ago, this other guy asked me to play, and I'd never had any other partner but my dad, but he gave me a great gift. You know, I can see a lot of dads, sports dads these days saying, no way, I got you to where you are now.
Right.
You're playing
mm-hmm.
with me. You're getting too good, but no, I want you to stick with me. He said, you're getting too good. You got to go and play with somebody better. And he encouraged me to keep on going on.
Was my stepmother throwing me out of the garage when I was 19. You're too good, son. You have to move to a crappy apartment in North Hollywood. Wow.
She didn't want you to move right to Tribeca?
No. What a lie.
And then to the Olympics.
There you go. Well,
as
went on to play for one of the all-time great coaches at Santa Barbara High School, Rick Olmsted, and then UCLA, Al Skates, who has won more championships than any other coach in NCAA college history.
19. So UCLA, obviously,
right down the street here,
are aware of John Wooden and the basketball and all that, what's going on the hardwood there. But when they take the nets down and they put the one across the middle, they do a lot of winning, more than anybody.
19 championships he's won there.
Wow. So it's the best program in the country, or certainly it was when you were there, right?
And it still is. They won last year, but just came up short this year. So everybody at UCLA is wondering which sport's going to be able to get number 100 overall for the school, because they're the leading school in the country. And so, volleyball, men's volleyball was hoping to be that number 100.
I've always said, do we really need a volleyball shoe and a basketball shoe? It's the same court. You're doing a lot of the same things. Like I thought, agree on a shoe and let's go with it. It's the same hardwood. You're running, you're cutting, you're jumping. Whether you're going in for a dunk or you're just going up to block a spike, why do we need a volleyball shoe?
I'm not sure. I used to wear basketball shoes all the time in practice. I felt like they gave me more support.
And your ankles?
And a little higher thing for your ankles, like the three-quarter or the full height. So.
Aha! Vindication. I knew it.
So you don't have a shoe that you endorse?
No, but there are volleyball shoes that are just lower cut, and there are basketball, you know, it's to each individual preference.
What about your kind of volleyball? You would just kick off those shoes anyway, right?
Once you get to the sand, you don't want to be wearing shoes. There was only one guy I've ever seen on the tour who wore shoes on the sand, and that was because he had ankle problems.
Oh, so he needed the support. Yeah. Karch Karayan here. Karch, what about no shoes, no shirt? What about the shorts? Regulation, or could you sport the banana hammock if you wanted?
That used to be standard issue down in Brazil. We'd have to go down there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the guys
really?
Were...
Guy's got a thong back on. He's
got
setting
the thong
up.
On, playing in the Speedos. It wasn't pretty, but we have converted them over to the trunk look. Thank God.
Smart. You and the ultimate fighter finally realized that seeing guys go at it in their underpants is not a ratings grabber. We want to throw some trunks on a guy.
It is totally... Remember to... entertainment correspondence yesterday.
Yeah, Lynn and Alex.
Gay and Gayer.
Right.
Oh, yeah, Lynn and Alex. I could see that being this whole thing for them to watch. Guys in grappling suits, grappling.
Right.
But when they changed to real clothes, then it became... It's weird that an outfit can change a sport, that a uniform can change the basics of a sport. Because I got to tell you, I've never seen anything grosser than in real life. Like a high school wrestler coach in that...
Unitard?
Like, what is that thing even called?
A leotard.
That Borax suit.
I don't know, but I think, you know, beach volleyball ought to be played in swim trunks, which it is, but ultimate fighting should be done in street clothes because that's what
that's
it is.
That's what I'm calling
it. It's a bar fight.
Yeah, it is. That's a real
guy's
fight.
Wearing cowboy boots and coveralls, and he does that thing when the fight starts, when the guy tells him, when he tells his buddy to hold his beer and his jacket. When he takes his jacket off and hands the dude his beer and his jacket, that means it's time. And somewhere during the match, a pair of sunglasses are going to go flying out from one of the guys.
But hopefully he loosened his tie at least. So.
That's right.
Okay.
So
it
won't be you look
at old pictures of beach volleyball and the styles have changed just like it. You look at old pictures of Michael Jordan and Larry Bird.
The shorts
are about 4 inches long and now they're down below the knees. And the same thing goes for beach volleyball.
I saw side out, by the way.
Yes, I know what's happening.
Did your wife play?
She played in high school and played at Pepperdine, and that's how we met through volleyball. So,
wow. I'm going to kidnap one of your kids and raise them as my own.
Yeah.
I just don't have those kinds of genes going through me. And as far as your parents, I am going to go throw myself on their mercy. I would like to be can you be adopted at 42 years of age?
I'm not sure because I was thinking of having you adopt me at 47.
I'll adopt Danny, and then we'll go over to the Karai house and have them adopt us.
So I will call them Grandpa.
And you can enjoy a little dish of my mom's lecho, if you've had that, too.
Yes, Dr. Lotsi. Tell Bougie more goulash. All right, Karch Karai, everybody.
Thanks, man.
Fellow Hungarian, going to be playing this weekend, Thursday through Sunday, AVP Cuervo Gold Crown, Huntington Beach Open. Much luck to you, Karch. Good seeing you, as usual. And
thank you guys. Yes. Good luck. Have a great weekend. And
thanks,
everybody,
drink
responsibly out there. We hope to see you out in Huntington Beach.
We will take a break when we come back. I think some Idol recapping is in order. Big night on American Idol.
It was Bon Jovi night.
I watched it. It's Jovi, by the way, if you're any kind of fan at all.
I love Bon Jovi.
I watched it. I didn't think it would work out. It did, but I have very specific thoughts on it, and I'll share them with you next.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. And now, Cancer Danny sings the hits.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was hot like me? Don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like me? Don't you? Don't you? Don't you wish your girlfriend was raw like me with cancer? Don't you wish your girlfriend was fun like me? Don't you? Don't you?
That's Cancer Danny doing the Pussycat Dolls, Don't Ya? On the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, it's time for a little American Idol recap. Sometimes folks say to me, Ace, what's with the American Idol? We don't want to hear about the American Idol.
Yeah, I get that too.
I think, well, yeah. On the other hand, 35 million people are talking about something, and we kind of have to talk about it.
It was the number one and two show of the week last week and the previous week and the previous week.
So sad. So, without any further ado.
Well...
Here we go, T. What do you think, baby doll?
Jon Bon Jovi, I thought, was an excellent mentor. And oddly enough, it came across very well. I didn't think Rock Night was going to be good. There aren't really any rock singers left this year.
Mm-hmm.
Blake Lewis probably had the performance of the night. It was called the most original song, the most original version of a song ever done in Idol history.
It was amazing.
It was amazing. He sang, "You Give Love a Bad Name, and even if you hate Idol,
right,
you got to appreciate this."
Such a, I don't know, if it was a diving competition, it would have been a double backflip with a twist and a sow cow camel toe. I mean, it was the difficulty I would have tried to talk him out of it.
I
would
think
have said,
Bon Jovi did.
I would have, yeah.
Why?
Because it would have been like, listen, buddy, you're popular, you're good looking, people like you, you're safe. What we need to do, again, I'll get back to my diving competition right. analogy. What we need is a nice 1.5, something basic, something we know you're going to stick. We know you're going to stick it. Just go nail it, and you're in to the next week.
And of course, the Speedos.
And of course, the Speedos. You and Karch in the Speedos. Yeah. The point is if you go for the double, triple, whatever, and you do a belly flop, you're out of the competition, and you're not, it's not one of these things, it's not fight or flight time for you. You're in. You're in the middle. You're fine.
It's fight.
You'll be fine. Choke up on the bat, hit a double,
right.
and you're in. You go for a home run, you may miss.
He swung for the fences, and Bon Jovi made the point, it's a singing competition.
It's Jovi.
Jovi. It's a singing competition.
It's not Jovi. I'm sorry, I'm Bon Jovi fan. Right,
out, you're this close to me shortening it to just Jeff.
Put me through hell.
Okay, this is Jack Silver and Leo, the film freak. All right, it's too early for this.
What time is appropriate?
Everybody killed themselves.
Well, he went 16 bars of the song in a singing competition without singing. That was the risky part. It was just him on stage with a drummer.
Yeah. Really? So that I you know, when I watch this show, first off, I don't know how old Blake is. He's probably 23, 24 maybe. Yeah. He's the old man of the group. When I see these 17-year-olds go out there completely poised, there's 30 million people watching. Everything is on the line. They're doing a song that they just had a few days to prepare. Nobody ever F's up. It's weird. Like, I'd be up there and it'd just be like, hey, shot to the fart. Oh, Christ. Okay, give me a takey. Let's do a do-over. All right, let's start this one again. Hey, you know, cut. Well, we'll clean this up in post. Let's try it again. Shot to the bart. Damn it. Let's go again. Can we try it? You know what? Let's use the shot through the part from the first take, and I'll just pick it up from heart, and then we can splice it together. Like, these guys are out there with guys playing drums and electric guitars. They're doing this choreographed stuff, and nobody... Once in a while, there's a minor hiccup on a lyric, but nobody has a... I would be sweating profusely. Sure. Something would happen. I would pop a zit right before I went out there and have a big red mark on my forehead. Like, these are 17-year-olds. They should be freaked out.
They should be. But on the other hand, it's the difference between you and I and Teresa. Mm-hmm. Teresa comes in here and knows precisely some of the things she is going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have names of people and things that are going to happen, but... Not that we don't get here at 3 o'clock in the morning and prep.
Right.
But really,
but we don't.
Right. You and I kind of fly and hope for the best. These guys are drilled day and night. Don't you remember on Dancing with the Stars, the comment every celebrity makes is, I lost 30 pounds. This was so hard. They're doing the same thing with these guys. They're playing these songs day and night. They've got to be almost bored.
I'm with you, but Dancing with the Stars are 40-year-old guys who've been in show business for 30 years. These 17-year-olds just fell off a turnip truck.
Sure. Lakeisha Jones had never had a singing lesson in her life. She only sang in church. She performed some Bon Jovi song that I'd never heard of called This Ain't a Love Song. Did you know it?
No.
I'd never heard it. She did an amazing rendition.
Jovi, by the way, but no, I'd never heard it.
It's an obscure Jovi song. This is Lakeisha Jones.
It's Bowie.
Did the judges like it?
You give a heavy-set black woman the Pete Ellis Dodge jingle, and she's going to make it a toe-tapper, you know?
Yeah,
she could do the Oscar
true.
Mayer Wiener song. I mean, you just give a nice, big old black chick who's sung in church her whole life, you give her anything, and she will just make it sing.
I never got necessarily the greatest voice, but certainly a good voice, good enough for Broadway, obviously. But the perfect, if you have to go stereotypical, of the African-American choir singer that can just sing. Nell Carter.
Really?
See, anybody that looks like Nell Carter.
She sang
that's
right.
Probably
she sang
a pretty good chance. She grew up singing in church and can really belt one
she
out.
She sang the theme song to Give Me a Break.
That's right.
and was on Broadway for years and years.
Yeah, she's a great singer now. Did the judges?
No, she dropped dead.
She was
400 pounds of
a
singer.
No, don't bring us down.
Well, that's the drawback to being the big, heavy set lady who sings. You have a tendency to die.
Now, the judging of Lakeisha is probably what everyone's going to be talking about today because something unexpected happened at the end.
Lakeisha, I actually could kiss you after that.
That's saying something, Mr. Murray.
Please tell me
you are so good.
And I love the fact that
they kiss.
Thank you, Lakeisha.
Right. Lakeisha comes down to the judging dais and kisses Simon on the lips.
That's weird.
Somebody's
lipstick on his lips is priceless.
Somebody's got to get Seacrest and Apple Box because I saw, I think it was Jordan Sparks, the 17-year-old. Jordan Sparks, I can't tell if she is the size of the brawny man or if he is literally a lawn jockey.
She's a great big fat person.
She was standing next to Seacrest. She's wearing a black sleeveless dress. Her guns look bigger than Seacrest's thighs. Seacrest is one of these guys where he's a midget, but he's perfectly proportioned, so he looks great on camera. The greatest look, symmetry is what you look for in a camera. The greatest looking guy on a camera is going to be 140 pounds and 5'6". That's all these Davy Jones type and these Keith Partridge types or something. It's symmetry. He looks great on camera. The problem is then when poor Lakeisha or poor Jordan stands next to him with their sleeveless dress on and his head is not, her head isn't in the frame. It's just her huge arms and shoulders next to Seacrest's head, who's in one of her armpits. It makes her look like a giant woman, not just a fat woman,
but a gargantuan
woman, and I realize it's not really her fault.
No, it's Seacrest's fault.
She's 5'7", 5'8". She's 150 pounds, but she put the heels on, and she just looks like five of him. And as far as the camera goes, when you're watching, you don't go, oh, he's really
he's
small.
Tiny.
You go, oh, my God, she is as really big as a Winnebago.
She is almost the exact same dimensions in every regard as Tom Cruise 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah,
Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise is approximately my height, 157.
Yeah. Well,
last time I saw it in People magazine.
The women on the show, especially the ones that make the cut, tend to be a little bit bigger. They tend to be plus size, and then they just stand there with those big arms hanging out and see Chris making them look like they're weather balloons.
I've got a tiny idol scoop for you, if you want.
Yeah.
I did that Scarborough Country thing again last
night.
Mm-hmm. And they have now taken to just not telling me what we're talking about and assuming I will know, which I think is a very big compliment on their part. And one of them was that Fox sent out an official memo that Simon and Ryan need to cut back on the homoerotic humor.
Ah, the homoerotic banter.
They literally want them to...
Maybe that's why he kissed Lakeisha.
Maybe that is why.
But then Ryan made some sort of weird little voice with him and the lipstick thing.
Yeah.
And then Ryan's done that since I've known him, though.
Yeah.
He never says, I'm gay, but he never says, I'm not. And he'll make some little joke, like something like, this is not a joke. I've heard him make this a joke I've actually made. But he'll do this kind of thing. I'm not gay. My boyfriend is. So, I just go off the cuff little joke and then move along. Mm. But I think he thinks this adds mystery to him. I don't know why he does it, but he's consistent with it.
Well, as I've said, many, many years ago, I was at a party. I was scoping out a hot chick, and he was scoping out the same hot chick and making a pretty good play for her. So the point is I didn't know who he was back then other than he was just a local DJ.
Afternoon jock, yeah.
And afternoon guy over a Kiss, I think. So I thought,
no,
not gay.
Sensations me.
Oh.
Ran to him. I saw him every day for
Star.
6 years. Yeah.
Star, that's right.
Did you see him with girlfriends and such?
No.
Huh.
But I saw him on dates when I went out. I would see him with women. But and this is not to imply that this guy's gay. I don't know anything about Ryan's sexuality, except that it's like metrosexual. He's the king of that. Him, Mario Lopez. And
right.
I know Mario ain't gay. but he was the king of that. But when you'd see him with a girl, it looked like one of those things where your agent and publicist set up, because the girls didn't look real. Not like didn't look like his real date. They just look too pretty to be real and too perfectly made up and had a hairdresser obviously do their hair before they went out. Yeah. It seemed like a photo op.
It's not gay. It's retarded sexuality.
I think that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
I don't know. Bill?
What no, is Bill it? Doesn't know. Bill's no, just Bill sexuality is not retarded. It's gay.
Retarded as in
forced not stunted. To grow.
Right. Yeah.
Well, the thing is people think either you're heterosexual, and if you're heterosexual and single and in Hollywood, you should just be humping every starlet that moves.
Give me four months.
Or you're gay, but there's shades of gray in there, which is guys that aren't gay, they're heterosexual, yet they don't do a lot of dating or don't seem to have much of a thirst for that.
Yes.
All right.
I know what you mean. Well, we probably have to go. Two people who are going to be eliminated tonight because, of course,
they're
last
going two.
Week. Yeah, because they didn't want to eliminate anybody. Although two people died on the show. The one woman had AIDS and she didn't make it. And the baby with malaria didn't make it. And I thought,
well, that's two.
Two fatalities and no eliminations.
So you mean in last week's Idle Care?
Yeah. They raised $70 million, which is great. And so tonight, two people will go. Should we go out on one of the people who will probably be eliminated, Phil Stacey?
Sure.
Let's take a listen to him doing Blaze of Glory.
Oh. Song blows. Monumental. Ass. I love all the metaphors when you got the six string instead of the six gun and you ride on the steel horse and all that. Oh, you drink your dinner every night. The earth was last night's pillow. The earth was last night's pillow.
Yeah, but that was a great... I used to play a game on the radio in Chicago when I first started. Because, I mean, literally, I'm brand new at radio, and I'm doing the Danny Bonaducci show at 2 in the morning to 6. Mm-hmm. You can't get a phone call. It's just you talking about anything. Right. If you wrote a book on how to scratch your ass, I'd book you. And I'd talk to you about ass scratching as long as possible. Mm-hmm. So you just make stuff up on the spot, but every now and again, you'd get one that stuck. Mm-hmm. We played a game called If You Were Gay. Mm-hmm. You only play like once a month or so, but you'd list the five people you'd do if you were gay. And Joby made my list for years.
Mm. Is he still on there?
I haven't thought of it in years. I guess the Joby that's in my mind, and because I'm thinking of the video for this song from Young Guns with him on that cliff with the guitar. It used to be also Johnny Resnick from the Goo Goo Dolls was my most recent one until I found out my wife wanted to have sex with him. Now he's on my top I'll kill you list.
You broke up with him.
Little five little pieces of Resnick.
Earth was last night's bed. I know where you're going. You're going to write a horrible song.
For another $20 million.
You know, Six Gun Lover. Ah. Oh. People aren't punished enough for this kind of horrible art. It really, this is the dogs playing poker of songs. And the super, super high program directors that thought it'd be a good idea to play this garbage should be punished just as well. That song blows.
Well,
it is so pretentious and it sucks. You know, Walking on Sunshine is a crappy song that you can at least feel good about listening to. You'll snap your finger. It's like Oombop by Hanson. It's like, okay, this is nothing. This is cotton candy, but at least it makes me feel good. This song is a horrible song, and it blows, and it makes me want to kill myself.
Bon Jovi did look really good, although I couldn't help but notice when he was coaching Melinda and LaKeisha, he kept
blacking it up.
Yeah, and he was like, "You're in church, girl. Put your arms up. Testify." It was a little embarrassing.
That is a little embarrassing.
But listen, brothers. It's only because we're trying.
We're trying.
Don't hold that against us. When a black guy goes, "Hey, my main man, up top high," he's trying.
He's clumsy, but
he's trying. He's like, I say to girls all the time when they're like,
"Don't you hate when they get that confused?"
Yes, the girls. I'm thinking about my gay life.
I say to guys all the time, "You're caught in that." I mean, girls.
I say to girls when they're like, they're talking about some guy, and it's like, "Oh, he picked me up on the date, and then he stumbled when he was trying to open the door, and then he kept talking so fast." And like, I always stop them and go, "He likes you. He's nervous.
He's trying
very hard because he really likes you, and so you're punishing him because he's trying too hard. Don't hold that against him, brothers. When we screw up the high five." five, or do the bro or the main man, or down low, or give me five, or any of that stuff, and we call you my main man or anything. We're trying to make up for the past.
Right.
We really are. Don't hold it against us. I know it seems condescending, but we're trying.
I know that you're thinking back in history when a white man would reach out and grab you by the hand, he would hold on to it and drag you to the ship and take you to the new world.
Right.
Those days are over. We're trying very hard to make up for it by learning your handshake. But there's a trick to it, to act cool.
Yeah.
There really is. No matter if it starts off in the cup hand style, like, and that's all it used to be. Like, you were going to arm wrestle. That was the whole handshake.
Right.
And then it moved from there to you'd keep your thumbs together down to the regular handshake, and then it moved from there to the knuckles. Okay? At that point, on the move from the handshake to the knuckles, keep your index finger out, and you're super cool.
And then do the joint thing at the end?
I don't know.
I got to say, like, if
I'm Dancing with the Stars.
If I met Colin Powell, I would probably say the word man 28 times. Like, hey, man, good to meet you, man. What's happening in Iraq, man? I think you're doing a great job, man.
Now, okay, see, that's cool. What I don't think is cool when you're, like, if you're, like, the only black kid in school and the a couple of certain white kids go out of their way to be your friend. They're going to show you how friendly they really are to the black people. It's the same people, I think, that are overly compensate. They go up to the guy at school, the new guy in the wheelchair. And act like he's not in a wheelchair. It's like you go up to the black kid that's out of his element and go to the all-white school, and there's like two guys that just want to befriend you so badly. I don't know if they want a black friend. I know white because I went to an all-white school with one black kid. Of course, he turned white later. It was Michael Jackson. But everybody wanted to befriend him, and everybody tried too hard. You know what I mean?
I'm going to paint my son black and put him in a wheelchair before his first day of school. But yes, I agree. We shouldn't reach out to black people.
First of all,
yes.
That's what I got for that conversation.
Me too.
Are you cool?
Yeah.
My main
man,
girl?
I think we covered it.
All right. We will take ourselves a little break, but when we come back, news. That's right. I'm going to tease, T.
R. Kelly's got a new song. Unfortunately, it's about Virginia Tech.
What is with this guy?
Oh, no.
Is it R. Kelly? I know it's the Whiz Boy, but he's also the guy that wrote the song The One End, right? The song that just keeps coming.
That one where he made out of the closet. Novella.
No, there's a song that goes on for
Trapped in the Closet.
Yeah. And isn't it like 4 or 5 days long? It just keeps going.
It's on many parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sectioned out over over albums.
All right.
Well, now he's taking on Virginia Tech through the majesty of song.
So we'll hear that next.
Yep.
All right. And much more on the Adam Carolla Show.
Great moments in local news.
Getting over-tweezed eyebrows to grow hair again. Monday at 11.
That's a great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, the news is coming, but first, ESPN's Kenny Mayne. The funniest man on ESPN, Kenny Mayne, is on the phone from Louisville, Kentucky. Kenny?
Indeed. The greatest moment in TV, local TV history was the boom, there goes the dynamite guy, I think.
What?
Have you not seen him?
No.
Kenny's talking about there's a local guy. I believe he was in Indiana, Kenny. He was a very nervous young sports reporter and was just losing his place and was moments of silence as he just watched the scores go. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, boom, goes the dynamite.
We all had those moments. You got to Google that or YouTube it or whatever you do these days.
Well, we'll find it and play it for the kiddies. Kenny, I'm sorry we didn't run into each other in Tribeca.
I gave every effort. I was going to fly overnight from Los Angeles, meet up with you, but you had overbooked, or your people had done so. And then you guys wanted to do it on Friday for everybody else's edification. We were trying to do a TV story for ESPN about Adam's movie. But then on Friday, when you were available, I was unavailable because my daughter was having special person day.
Oh.
And I was her special person.
What is special person day?
They each kid is to pick out, usually it's a grandparent or, you know, whatever, you know, the parks director, you know, somebody who touched their life. And we don't have any family back east. Everybody's in Seattle. So it was either me or Laura. And I got the nod. It was pretty cool, actually.
Laura's your girlfriend or your mistress?
She's still my wife.
I said girlfriend or mistress, A or B.
Was Laura insulted?
I want her to be more like a girlfriend. If we could get back to that time period, we'd be doing great.
It'd be nice. I'm going to pick a person very soon to be my kid's special person so I don't have to do the three-legged race or any of the crap with the show and tell or any of that
business. No, it's fun. You don't have children?
It's why I have twins, but you could have been hanging with me in Tribeca doing a comedy bit. Instead, you're standing up in front of a bunch of third graders while they're pointing at you.
Second grade, Mrs. Keller's class. Oh. No, I mean, I travel enough for all my football stories and stupid things. I just did some Dancing with the Stars thing that took me out of town, and so when I'm around, I want to be around.
Well, you can just tell from what you just said, though, that you're a fantastic father. I have two children.
I'm down a one-way.
I have two children.
I'm on a one-way.
What? Oh, can you hear?
I just went down a one-way the wrong way.
Oh, you're driving down a one-way street.
You're going the wrong way. I've corrected it, though.
All right. Are you okay now? Are you all right?
By hitting a semi?
Yeah, I was gonna say
we got the draw show tonight that you're gonna watch at 2:00 Pacific on ESPN2.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And that's where they put the horses in their slots for this year's Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, so you're down in Kentucky right now. The Kentucky Derby is Saturday.
Indeed.
I don't know that much about horse racing. Where does the Kentucky Derby rank in terms of events? You know, Super Bowl, maybe that's at the top. World Series is Kentucky Derby. Indy 500. You know, where does it rank in terms of viewing and attendance?
Well, my favorite thing I ever did as far as TV was interviewing Stevie Wonder. That's far and away the leader. And then after that, we went to Kuwait and did Sports Centers for the Troops. That would be number two. And then Derby's in a tie. With a Super Bowl if Seattle's in it, so
right for
that's for Kenny.
That's for Kenny Mayne, and I do believe you represent most of America. But in terms of viewership, how does it do in the ratings?
Oh, Super Bowl, you know, the runaway. Not even, World Cup, I guess, is ahead of Super Bowl if you want worldwide ratings.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I'm no ratings expert, but they are going to draw better than most NBA playoffs by far.
Wow. Mm-hmm. A lot of hot white chicks in bonnets, am I right?
Yes, hats.
Well, there's all colors here. It's really a global thing now.
They got white and whiter and then whitest.
And then the guy that true. Michael Jordan will be here.
That doesn't count.
But by the way, this is a question. I was watching news coverage last night, and it was wall-to-wall Larry Birkhead goes to the Kentucky Derby coverage. Is that eclipsing the story about the race?
I don't know. There's a long week, and you watch horses come out. I went out this morning. I got up at 6 just to get some street cred, where if you roll out of bed at 9:30 and have the buffet, you look like a loser. You're supposed to be out there talking to trainers, inspecting horse flesh, and doing stride analysis and all that crap. I know how to read a racing form, and that's mostly what I go by. I mean, I know what a horse looks like if he's terrible looking, but I can't separate the great ones from the very good ones.
Will you be doing a little gambling on Saturday? A lot of gambling on Saturday?
What I did was I was in a couple of, like, really, well, actually, Like Mike wasn't a bad movie. I was in a couple other things, and I still get residual checks.
Ah.
And so every time I got one, I cashed it and stuck it in a secret compartment in my closet.
Mm-hmm.
And I built up my gaming funds that way instead of having to go to Quick Cash this week. That's the walk of shame.
The Quick Cash walk of shame
machine.
Yeah. That and the Coinstar.
I'm ready to go, and I'm backing this single horse in many ways.
So it's not like a P. Rose type of thing. You're allowed to bet on horse races, no problem.
Well, I don't know if they love that we're talking about it, but I'm just answering the question. I'm honest.
All right, do you see hookers when you're on the road?
No.
Okay,
no.
Things I wanted to know. They're comfortable you're talking about.
No, I'll be studying every night. In fact, I'm turning down the premier party so I can study up and have all the, you know, because it's not just the Derby. There's a lot of other races on the undercard that ESPN will carry. NBC, of course, has the Derby itself. But, you know, there's gaming all day long. And that's how the sport is fueled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they take 85% or whatever the percentage is and put it in to the kitty and split it up so that they can pay for the track maintenance and pay the purses. And, you know, if they had betting windows at Fenway, I imagine people would go to those too.
I imagine they would and probably do. They just do it from the comfort and convenience of their own home.
Tuna
and I never understood why football was illegal, but horses was just fine. And then don't get me started on dog racing, because that's crazy.
The crazy one for me is the boat that's only 3 feet off the dock, and now you're a casino.
Right.
You know, they push you out with a pole, and now you're a floating casino, and it's okay, and they drag you back in, and everybody's got to stop.
I just think I think about the breed.
Definitely some double standards in the way they write the laws, and what's legal, what's not legal. And I think horse racing, this is getting a little bit of minutiae, but what the hell, we went down that road already. But
sure,
the way they're
the wrong
taxed,
way. right?
If you when you win at the racetrack, you are taxed in a ridiculous manner that is not the case when you do other forms of gambling. If you go to Las Vegas and win $5,000 at craps, mm-hmm. technically you're supposed to report all income, but you know, I don't think a lot of people let the government know they hit a pair of hard sixes. They just take the damn money. Right. And in horse racing, if you're plus 300 to 1 and it's over $600, you know, you're paying taxes to the government in an unfair way. So
on the spot.
Stop to that.
I didn't know that. That's amazing.
Depends. No, you only get taxed on the spot if it exceeds some other number, which I haven't done in a while. But you have to, at the end of the year, I got lucky, my tax guy, and he's got to kind of explain to the government how I won 5 trifectas over the course of the year.
Kenny Mayne, everybody from Kentucky. The Kentucky Derby is this Saturday, but that's NBC. But we'll be watching ESPN to see all the things leading up to it, yes?
But you'll be watching at 2 o'clock today on ESPN2, and then you'll watch tomorrow. You'll watch the Oaks on Friday, all day on Saturday. And Sports Center and Ocho, we got it all. Whatever you want.
Kenny Mayne, everybody. Good to speak to you as usual, Kenny.
Thanks, Kenny.
Likewise.
Sounds like he's dealt with the emotional fallout from losing on Dancing with the Stars first.
I forgot he did that.
Yeah, they dumped him right away. Yeah.
All right, T, I'll tell you what we'll do. Give another tease for the news. We'll take a break, try to get back on time, and then we'll do the news when we come back.
R. Kelly's new song about Virginia Tech, and also Oprah's financial tips.
That next on The Adam Carolla Show.
The Adam Carolla Show loves Cinco de Mayo so much, we're starting the party 2 days early. Live tomorrow night from the Wave House in San Diego. It's The Adam Carolla Show's Trace de Mayo. The deaf frat guy will hold the first ever Miss Delta Foo pageant. Pro surfer Jenna Putnam rides the wave machine. Oswaldo's got a pinata full of prizes. And someone is going to get engaged live on the show. And if you can't make it to the margarita-fueled madness, you can hear the whole show Friday morning. Now back to The Adam Carolla Show.
Man, that sounds so fun.
Jenna Putman doesn't know my groin is the wave machine.
How long can she stay aboard?
Well, I got about a minute and a half.
Yeah, I was going to say, how long can she stay afloat?
Yeah, how long she can ride that bull. Speaking of the bull, the Red Bull not going to be with us in San Diego, in Philadelphia.
My aunt who, you know, because when somebody says to me I have to go to my aunt's funeral, I don't really go, gee, I'm so sorry. I don't know why.
Well, because some aunts raise you and some you've never met.
Right. This aunt raised me when I was 30. I showed up at her house, married, under indictment, and with a 200-pound Great Dane in her church organ playing life.
How dare you refer to Gretchen as a 200-pound Great Dane. And she took you in.
She took me in, and I made my year, and now it's what, a year and 20 days, whatever it is. But I've been trying to get sober forever, and I went to her house just as strung as you can be. This is back in the old Disney drug days. This is 17 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she took me in, and I stayed in that house, and she took care of me completely till the day I was brave enough to go outside. And I went to the store, and a guy from a bad radio show said, hey, you're that guy from the Partridge Family. Why don't you be on my show tomorrow? And I never left.
And she now has passed away.
She passed away just the other night, and she had the poor taste to do it on our San Diego.
Can't they just bury her in San Ysidro or somewhere?
I really said to my family.
Yeah.
How bad is it if I don't go?
Mm-hmm.
And I only said it to my sister who, like everybody hates me anyway in my family, but my sister hates me with sort of, you know, some leeway.
Uh-huh.
And she said, really bad. Everybody will hate you. You'll never recover if you don't go.
Yeah, most funerals, most things you do, even when you buy a card for your anniversary, it's not for you. It's so you won't be judged by the person that is not receiving the card or not seeing you at the funeral or not seeing you at the fill in the blank. 90% of the stuff I do, I don't want to do. I just say to the person next to me, you're sane. You were raised by normal people. What do you do when somebody dies? Should I buy flowers? Should I show up? And what should I wear? How should I act?
Right.
Because I'm constantly trying to just mimic human behavior.
Yeah, simulate normal human behavior.
I swear to God, that was one of Gretchen's major purposes in my life, was to, I would just kind of either mock what she would do, or after the important meeting, because she always went to all my meetings as my manager and stuff, when we'd leave, I'd ask her, okay, what happened? What did I say? Did I go too far? Did they like me? Because I couldn't tell because of my behavior. Mm-hmm. You know, you just, I guess we have that in common. You try and mock what you think people behave like.
Well, what happened with me, and then I promise we'll get to the news kiddies, these things are learned behaviors. We come from a society where when you have a birthday, you get somebody a present, a card. When Christmas comes around, you get somebody a present. When an anniversary comes around, you get them a card. You eat with the salad fork. You don't put your elbows on the table. That's the society we live in. Now, if you were raised in a family with no salad fork and no birthdays and no anniversary cards.
Freak out!
Yes. It's all news to me. I don't know. You know, I never saw my dad give my mom an anniversary card. I don't know how many they had. I don't know when anyone in my family's birthday is. We never celebrated on the day. We'd get around to it or maybe combine two or three family members and do it, you know, 2 months later. So I'm just, I use it as an excuse. I should have learned by now, but I don't, and I haven't. And I just ask my wife or ask Jimmy, who's the Mary, hairy-backed Heloise, what do you do? Do you get someone a card? Is this appropriate? Should I be there? Should I show up? And he always says yes, and I always go, really? Can't I just throw money at the problem?
Yeah. That's always my answer.
Speaking of the problem, T.
Yes.
News, baby doll.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
First of all, Kenny Mayne, who we just had on from ESPN, referred to his favorite embarrassing local news clip, which we have procured. So I will have that for you shortly. But in the meantime, R. Kelly is taking a break from working on the next couple chapters in his bizarre Trapped in the Closet opera and his various perving activities, whatever they may be, to record a tribute to the victims of the Virginia Tech massacre. The song is called Rise Up, and Kelly says he was inspired to write it after watching coverage of the shootings on TV. The track will be released digitally May 15th, but we have a little of it for you.
And we'll be strong together, stand together, pray together.
Rise up.
When you feel you can't go on.
Rise up.
When all of your hope is gone.
Rise up.
When you're weak and you can't be strong.
He's talking to his penis.
He's
yelling at his penis. He's going for the hat trick. He's got a little whiskey D going.
Come on, you want to do it earlier? You can do it. Come on, boy.
Rise up.
I hate it when you end up talking to your private part like it's a dog. Come on, boy. Come.
Do you?
You can do it. Yeah.
Come on, rise up. We can take a whiz with wood wire. Okay.
You got to inspire it.
Yeah. Well, it sounds sounds fine. But it just sort of sounds like the Wings or the whatever song, doesn't it?
On the upside, yes, exactly. Proceeds will benefit the Hokie Spirit Memorial Fund. Of course, the Hokies are the Virginia Tech mascot. So at least it's for a good cause. He's the last person you'd expect to be.
Yeah, well, good times.
Learning that.
Maybe he hails from the area or something. I don't know where R. Kelly is from.
Maybe he got caught doing bad stuff with kids and thinks he should do nice stuff for people for a while.
All right.
He was indicted on 21 counts of having sexual intercourse with a minor.
First off, 21 is not 22. It's 21 counts.
Right.
Okay, as I've had to explain over and over again to people. It's under 25.
Right.
It's a good deal
14.
Under 25 counts. Yes. Still under 50 counts.
True.
Okay.
And counting.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, all right.
We've all been there.
Now, speaking of Virginia Tech, coverage of Virginia Tech got in the way of CNN saluting Larry King and celebrating his 50 years on the air. So instead of it happening, you know, a couple weeks ago, it's happening now. Oprah was on Larry King, and she talked about, even though she's got millions of dollars, she's sometimes still a tightwad.
Gail will tell you this. Recently, I was in a hotel, and I called her and said, call me right back. Because you know when you dial from a hotel phone, if you don't use like a calling card or something, it's like, I don't know.
$8.
A minute. So I'll call and say, would you call me back because it's too expensive? And she says, who is this?
Yeah. See, when you're super filthy rich and you go on your show and say you still clip coupons, everyone finds that endearing. Like if you say, I light European cigarettes with $100 bills. Everyone stones you. But if you go, I still could. But to me, it's even more obnoxious. You make $80 million a year and you're going to stick your friend with the phone bill or you can't handle $8. And by the way, what does Larry know about that? He's been dead for 9 years.
Nobody tells him. The thing, though, maybe that's a pet peeve. Because I'll waste money on lots of stuff, but there are things that I can afford that will drive me insane.
I agree.
My wife and kid do not put CDs back in their cover, ever. And then the CD cover is lost forever, and there's just CDs running around my house. And a lot of CDs really don't even say what they are on it.
Yes.
And I start yelling things like, why don't you just throw $17 out the window?
Mm-hmm.
But I'll throw $17 and then $300 more on a pair of bedazzled jeans.
Right. I do that with my wife. Why don't you just take that money and toss it? And then somewhere in the middle, I yell, honey, honey, no, I was kidding.
Yeah.
She's got a bucket of money and she starts dumping it out the car window.
I like that you keep the money in buckets.
I keep it in buckets.
And bundles.
Did you guys know those bundles came apart?
Yeah.
It's another story for another day.
Well, perhaps people have come to both of you asking to borrow money since they might assume you have some. That happens to Oprah.
Mm.
And here's what Oprah has to say about it.
Girl who worked with you in Baltimore.
Uh-huh.
Is on the skids.
Uh-huh.
Easy touch.
Yeah.
Are you?
You mean would I help you out?
Yeah.
I've done that for a few people. I've done that for a few people.
You must have a lot of people.
Well, and the thing about
went.
It is, this
I
is
knew
what,
you went over.
No, but this is what you have to do. This is what I've learned. You cannot, I never loan money. You would only loan money, Larry. You know this.
You're a Jew.
You only loan money if you never want to see the person again. So that's what I call sometimes an exit fee for people.
Yeah. It is funny. I've lent. Well, if you grow up around the people I've grown up with and the family I've grown up with, you give everyone money because right. people evidently don't have money or they don't have enough of it and they have no qualms about asking me for it. I don't mind giving them the money. I mind the part where they have the huevos to start busting my chops 8 years after they haven't paid me a goddamn cent back and then start in on me. And then eventually when I do bring up the money, they're offended. You know what I mean? Like, you lend someone $5,000, they never pay you back, and then you go out to lunch with them, and you're like, all right, well, it's $31, here's 20, you put in 20, and they're like, you had two Heinekens. And you're like, and I had the iced tea. Okay, I'll put in 25. Well, those Heinekens, how long before you go, listen, Dillweed, you owe me $5,000. And then eventually when you do that, they go, oh, okay, so
fine.
That's what it,
is that what it,
okay.
Right.
Oh, so you're going to rub that in my face? It's like, no, I wasn't. If you'd thrown a 20 on the table and let me have my Heinekens, I wouldn't have, but now I am.
It would have been one of my 20s.
Yes, how much in general do people really bring on themselves? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, they're into you for this, or you got caught cheating, or whatever your relationship is, whatever's going on, and the person starts bringing it up. It's like a tooth that hurts that they keep flicking with their own tongue. It's like, why are you talking about money, or why are you busting my chops? I've given money to everyone in my family. It doesn't slow them down from busting chops.
Right.
I lease my dad a car and have leased my dad a car for about 8 years, a luxury car where I pay for the car and I pay for the insurance. About $1,000 a month for the last 8 years. You do the math. When he sold his house and I bought it from him to do a TV show and whatever, something happened where we couldn't close the escrow for 3 more days and we had to sit on the insurance and whatever. He called and he was like, you owe me $733 because we had to push the escrow back 3 days and we had to pay for the whatever and the whatever, whatever. And I thought, all right, I'm paying. And then he called back a few days later. It's like, hey, man. What about that seven? And I thought, really, old man?
Already?
$1,000 a month for the last 8 years? You're going to bust my chops over $733? And by the way, I'm going to give you some sort of war in the balls department because where the hell are you calling from the car I lease you?
On the cell phone that I bought?
All right.
Well, I'm sure it gets tedious many years, but this
Jesus
is the first
Christ.
Year I got to loan my dad money. And I was just happy I had it.
It's liberating.
Yeah.
Why do all our dads need money?
Because they're stupid and they didn't plan for the future.
It was tax time.
Actually, my dad's smart. He's just lazy.
My dad was a mechanic and he doesn't have a pension and stuff. I was happy I could help him out. But I thought, wow, a career milestone. I can loan somebody money instead of being on unemployment, which I usually am.
Well, luckily, I planned for the future. But
it's true.
I realized that at the same time my wife left me and took half my future with her.
Right.
I realized we do Cancer Danny Sings the Hits. So I figure I've got half the future of most people my age anyway. So I'm probably going to be all right.
Don't say that, Danny. Now, I promised you Kenny Mayne's favorite. Makes me sad. I promised you Kenny Mayne's favorite local news clip. And I hope it translates. This is a very young guy. His name is Brian Collins. He's anchoring the sports. It looks like it's Ball State, a student-run TV station somewhere in Indiana. He's trying to call a game between the Pacers and the Nets. Now, this follows 20 minutes of stumbling and mispronouncing players' names and lots of dead air while he's showing the clips of the game. Mm-hmm. And then this.
The Indiana Pacers are looking for a measure of revenge tonight against the New Jersey Nets and to strengthen their playoff hopes. The Nets won the last Sunday's matchup 94-85, which left the Pacers one game behind the Chicago in the seventh series spot. Let's check out the highlights.
Here's where it gets good.
There's actual clips going on right now.
Yeah, this is on the air.
Steven Jackson's David.
Kid's got it.
Yeah.
The it factor. Silence. He's still in the
air. Miller's looking good. He shoots a three. And it's good. Later, he gets the rebound, passes it to the man, shoots it, and boom goes the dynamite.
Boom goes the dynamite.
Boom goes the dynamite.
He had it chambered, and he waited for the shot.
Pass it to the man.
The man. Kenny Mayne does not disappoint. I'll have to thank him for that. And, it's fun to listen to somebody who's awkward and stumbling yet there, but for the grace of God, go I. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. QCNN.
Joel McHale.
Yay.
Man who does not stumble and who is not awkward, although his shoes get gayer by the appearance.
I know. I was wondering.
He now is wearing a size 17 tartan plaid clown shoe, and he comes in here, and he's one of these guys. Guys take constructive criticism two ways, you know. 9 weeks ago, when I was making fun of his gay size 13 shoes,
right.
he went gayer. You know, there's two ways you go. If I pick up Bonaducci and we're heading out for an evening and Bonaducci's wearing a leather vest and no shirt, and I'm like, come on, buddy. You really think you can get away with that? There are two ways you can go. Next time I pick you up, you're either wearing a sweatshirt or you're wearing no shirt.
Right.
Evidently, Joel McHale's gone the no shirt route on these shoes because they couldn't be gayer if they were shaped like a penis and dragging a scrotum behind them. They just... I don't know where he gets these shoes. He claims people give them to them.
But does claim that.
But if I defecated in a Kleenex box and gave it to you, would you wear it on your head? It's worse than that. It's worse than that. Joel McHale, we kid, but we love. From the Soup on E! Next, he's brought his clips. We'll do that next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Tired of being crucified by the press.
I have a question.
From this E! News story.
TV talk.
Come on.
I'm sorry. Don't be mad. It was a casting decision.
From E's the Soup, Joel McHale on the Adam Carolla Show.
Ooh-hoo. Joel, great to see you, my friend.
Nice to see you, sir.
Show Danny your shoes. So
I did.
Just look at them.
Well, by the way, you can see them from a dirigible. It's not like... you can be on another planet and see these shoes.
Barnum and Bailey gave me these shoes.
What color would you...
Well, there's...
What color aren't they? Let's save time.
There is no puce?
No, there is.
No, there's puce.
I'd say it's...
purple.
I'd say it's Neapolitan ice cream melts on the gay flag.
Yes.
Would that be about the color of that?
Yeah,
that
it's
well
kind of a
done,
rainbow.
Which
nice.
Which I call the Super Jolly Roger.
I would like to say this, though. If shoe companies are hearing this, please send your shoes. And I need a lower bumper for my Subaru WRX. So
it looks
if
like
those
the,
could be sent.
It looks like the cable went out on your shoes.
Oh.
Remember, Adam and I were telling our little youngster friend here about how TV used to sign off.
Yes.
And then the pattern that would come up.
It was that?
Apparently they put laces on it.
Yes, mixed with a clown. It's in color. It's
but you know what, Joel, you're pulling it off.
Yes.
Well, thank you.
You are. I was talking about how there's a specific shoe for everything. Like, they have, you know, golf shoes, volleyball shoes.
I wear cowboy boots
everything,
whether I'm on horse or not.
Now one specifically made for manning a glory hole.
Wow.
You will not.
The other ones were not working.
You'll never again will you lose traction on slippery tile.
Right, it's got a cantilevered sole. It hugs the tile floor.
Just do it. What's the catchphrase that we should use for that? The glory hole shoes.
Stick it.
That's right.
You know, it's good.
You know how many injuries are caused every year with bad traction when guys manning glory holes having to put all their weight on the towel bar?
It's horrible when you see someone right up against the glory hole and then there's a compound fracture. Horrible. The femur breaks out of the skin.
Right. Now, I am never going to get tired of this.
I am disgusted now at my own theory.
Well, you know what? I think I really like the way Joel just kind of wung or winged that.
I think it's called, in the improv department, it's called yes and not only that, but.
Yes.
And you got because the butt part right,
I have a feeling
brother.
You don't exactly know what a glory hole is.
Oh, he knows.
Oh, I know.
How would you get a compound fracture?
Do you want me to make a little chart for you?
No, okay.
What happens is you're wearing the boots. They have
incorrect shoes.
Shoes right. Without the proper arch support. You slide on some slippery tile. You go down, and that's how you get the compound fracture.
Maybe I'm the guy that doesn't know.
Yeah. There's a lot more injuries than you think.
I'll tell you what. We should explain it off the air, but we'll then come back and sort it out, because I would be curious.
Why don't we give him a visual of how
you think it's a Bon
happen.
Jovi song?
No, I think it's Jovi. Three holes in a piece of plywood.
Don't we have pre-op board-op Bill right behind us to straighten us out on this? What a glory hole.
Straighten us out
now. Jack Silver's driving off the road right now. Let's
show has reached a new low.
All right. I do have a little tease here just to show you just to hear what I'm going to play at the end of the clips.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we'll make it to commercial break, but I just like to play the tease.
The wind band is going to also be a noose around the nuts.
That's coming.
That's Hillary Clinton. speaking of people from the South.
It's Condoleezza Rice.
Yes, it's coming. All right, so first up, from The View, Rosie O'Donnell commented on, I don't know if you play the commented on, Sheryl Crow's
toilet paper
thing where we all should use one square. No wonder Karl Rove didn't want to touch her.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how Rosie responded.
One little thing? Does she see my ass?
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, look,
by the way,
Cheryl,
she's seen your ass from a dirigible.
That's right.
Along with Joel's
shoes.
Saw
Joel's shoes.
Yeah, put them together, you could see it from the moon.
Sheryl Crow could get two wipes out of a postage stamp. She has no ass. But Rosie needs a rainforest.
Yes. You need a parachute company or a sail company.
That's right.
Step
she needs to roll that bounty that made Rosie famous in the first place.
Your best friend, Alec Baldwin. Problems.
Your friend.
Your blood brother, Alec Baldwin. Mm-hmm. You're one of the Baldwins. His brother, Stephen, went on Larry King to, I guess, talk. Well, that's what Larry King thought. It was a tough getting Stephen Baldwin. So here's how the interview went.
What does he have to say about his outburst and the reaction to it?
Oh, not allowed to talk about that, Mr. King.
Do you know her very well? Have you been in close contact with her over the years?
Love you, Larry. Can't talk about any of that stuff.
You can't tell me how you do with your niece? Is Alec optimistic that all this is going to be resolved?
Can't talk about any of that, brother. I'm just here to support my brother the best I can.
And you're doing a good job.
You've been married.
Yeah.
Go home and get your f***ing shine box.
Well, you know, let me say this about Stephen.
God bless him.
Be careful. It's your best friend's brother.
Well, Stephen Baldwin.
The one you turned on.
First off, all the Baldwins are blowhards. You just can't spell Baldwin without spelling out blowhard. They're just long-winded guys. And look, when I call somebody crazy, like Rose McGowan is crazy or David Arquette is crazy, I don't mean it in a real bad way. I just mean they're a little bit crazy.
Right.
And when I say blowhard, I don't necessarily mean it in a bad way. They all have very strong opinions. They're not scared to share them with anyone within a 30-mile radius of them. Alec Baldwin, super smart, super talented, a blowhard.
Coffee's for closers only.
A great guy, but a blowhard. All the Baldwins are blowhards. Now, Stephen Baldwin is a born-again blowhard.
Yeah.
Now, when you take... True. Now, what you're doing is you're taking a guy who formerly fought in the octagon and giving him a gun. You are taking... You're creating the world's greatest oral weapon. The guys who become born-again, the born-again Christian guys, are obnoxious as... I worked with a guy and many guys who were born again gangbangers. This is a disaster, by the way. These are guys who found Jesus Christ in juvie. All right. And then got
after
out.
Killing
now, these guys who are this sort of Latino gangbanger types, the guys who don't say anything, but they stab you. these guys became blowhards talking about the Lord. So imagine if you get a motor mouth like one of the Baldwins, and then you infuse him with the will of the Lord. Well, Stephen Baldwin has become this guy.
He's powerful now.
Yeah. One of the greatest experiences I ever had was when I was doing... It's interesting when I go on for 10 minutes without breathing about being a blowhard, ironically.
Ironically.
But when I did Howard Stern about 3 or 4 years ago, I was talking to Gary, the Delabate, the producer, and I was like, who's coming on? I'm coming in there on Wednesday. Who's coming in there? Because I want to, you know, figure out, think of a few jokes or whatever. Sure. And he's like, well, Stephen Baldwin's coming in at 7 o'clock, and you're coming in at 8 o'clock. And I said, oh. Okay, well, just as long as he's out of there by 8, because that guy will eat up the mic. I won't be able to get a word in edgewise. He'll be thumping the Bible. The guy's obnoxious. He's a blowhard. So he said, yeah, no problem. He'll be out by 8. You'll come in at 8, and you'll have your own time. I said, that's great. I came in at 8 o'clock. I sat down. I was like, I didn't catch any of Baldwin. How was he? Oh, he's not come in yet. Well, where is he? He's right here. Sit down, Baldwin. Sit down next to Corral. Now, Adam, you were telling me the other day on the phone what a blowhard Baldwin was. And I thought, I should have known.
You should have known.
It's like telling an embarrassing story to Kimmel. Do you think he's not going to bring it up at the next writer's meeting? The time you cried and did that weird thing with your hand in a sock at Jewish camp. Do you think he's not going to bring that up?
Right. How did it go?
Very uncomfortable. But the thing about Baldwin is he admits it. Yeah. I mean, he knows it, and he realizes that he is now a born-again blowhard.
Who has... As a born-again blowhard, you now have the greatest oral weapon compared to the porn-again blowhard, who also has a very good
very
oral
strong
weapon.
Oral
the porn-again, yeah, they're very
someone
good.
Who didn't have porn and then discovered it?
And discovered it, and it's taken over their soul. Wow. I'm a lonely, lonely man these days.
Yes, all right, wow. So anyway, I'm sorry, Larry King.
There you go.
I rarely side with Larry, but I think he's right in this instance.
It was one of the most interesting interviews he's ever done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Driving Force.
Mm-hmm.
You know the show with about the racer.
John Force.
John Force.
Right.
Who the last time you explained that a drag racer has, what, 13,000 horsepower, right?
Has about 8 or 9. They can't really measure it because it would blow up the dynamometer.
Right.
And the engines are good for 1 or 2 runs, and then they break them down.
Right.
Dynamometer is what you'd use to measure horsepower. Your average family car has 175. Your average sports car has 275, and they have 9,000.
Could they make one of those to measure my shoes?
They don't measure anus.
There's no clown-shaped Brannick device large enough to measure your shoes.
If you threw skateboard wheels on those shoes, I could drive in the soapbox derby.
Yeah. You can do what my kid is and he puts his whole shoe into my shoes. Uh-huh. That'd be cute. His job is dangerous, and he decides to talk to his daughters about what they should do with his body if he dies during a race. And this is how it goes.
I want to vote. Raise your hand. Who wants to be buried in a casket?
I can't do this.
I don't know what you
want. I'm going to get sick.
Okay. No vote. Who wants to be cremated? Okay, no vote. Okay. Who wants me to donate my body parts and help some child?
Wow.
Yeah.
Danny Bonaducci did the same thing with us.
I did. I absolutely did.
Well, you guys voted, right?
I took ashes shot into space, by the way.
And you mean cigarette ashes.
Cigarette ashes.
That's all that's going to happen. You won't actually have to cremate me.
He's going
to
put in a Marlboro Miles duffel bag and then shot into space.
Of which I have 9.
Marlboro bought him a small island.
What did he do with the Marlboro?
They bought him a rocket.
You know, the Marlboro Miles.
He qualified for a Marlboro rocket.
Not many guys can get the Marlboro Learjet, but Danny.
I actually don't have to shoot me into space. You can just walk on my miles.
All right, we need to
take... I played on Danny's Marlboro golf course the other day. It was great.
It's beautiful.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
Hey, Joel, too far. Too much.
We had it, and then
you did one more. All right, I think your shoe phone's ringing. We need to take a quick...
Play the noose
break.
Around the nuts thing again.
All right, what's
happening? Man, it's going to also be a noose around the nuts.
That's coming.
We need to take a break. We kid a lot about Joel being gay with the shoes, but your hero, Matt Hasselbeck, is going to be calling in
really?
Your beloved Seattle Seahawks.
I'm gay. Well, yeah.
Now, you do love Matt.
I
you
love
do
Matt
love. You hail from that area. Right?
I hail from the area. Go, Seahawks. Go!
You'll get to
They're
going to
win it this year.
You'll get to talk to your boyfriend.
Not for the help from the refs.
You'll get, to talk to your boyfriend next, and we'll hear more clips from Joel McHale. E, the soup, next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Austin, Texas. A 20-year-old man pled guilty to gross misdemeanor theft after he stole a statue of the Virgin Mary and painted it to look like a clown, took pictures, and posted them on MySpace. Definitely not a Jew.
Maybe Orthodox?
Keep waiting for the good people over at Alcoa
to sponsor.
Drop us a line asking us to stop using them as a sponsor for Definitely Not a Jew. Hey, Joel McHale, everybody. One of my favorite guys, and certainly TV's favorite.
Yeah.
In studio. Are you more in love with Joel now than you were his first appearance?
Yeah, he grows on you in a platonic way.
Yeah.
So why do you do that to yourself?
Out of respect for Joel's wife, who's probably listening.
With my mother-in-law. So.
Yes.
Really? Your mother-in-law lives with you?
No, she's just in town.
Oh.
But I do love Joel. Oh, he's both he's smart and he's easy on the eyes and he's sweet.
Yeah.
Okay.
You love him too.
This is going great.
So are you doing stuff for moms and mothers-in-laws that a cause you're taking on? Because my wife is leaving me and her mother lives in Phoenix where we are heard. So if you could just do it to me right now, out of respect for the fact that they're publicly humiliating me.
Mm-hmm. Chivalry is not dead. Thank you for that kind offer.
No problem. I'm here for you.
How do you do with your mother-in-law? You guys get along all right?
We do get along.
All right.
Yeah. She does a lot of gardening, which is very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
She'll just go out into the garden for 6 hours.
Really?
And then she'll come back and be like, my back really hurts from all that gardening. I'm like, oh, that is too bad. The dinner's not making itself.
Right. Weeds don't pull themselves out.
She works. She's a mule.
She is compelled to, when she sees a garden that is in disarray, she has to.
He met an actual mule that brings drugs over the border. Have you heard about those?
How about her referring to you as Charlie Gaseous? Does that get old?
It gets old if she says it at the end of each sentence.
Memoirs of a Gaseous. Joel's new book.
Kind of like if she's a private and I'm her sergeant.
Right. Yes, sir, sir. Yes, sir, sir, sir.
But sergeant Gaseous. You have a little baby, so yes. Your mother-in-law probably helps out with him.
Yes, she loves our little guy.
All right.
Who now, in every store he walks into, just goes, buy it.
Yep.
Buy it.
I know.
Just points to everything.
Monsters.
Buy it.
Where are we? Joel McHale from the Soup, and also his boyfriend, Matt Hasselbeck, huge Seahawks fan, is calling in as well. Why don't you give us one more clip, then we'll talk
about
Matt.
All right. This is for Danny. This is designed for Danny. This is something from CSI Miami.
These lasers are dividing the whole house in half. The court ordered it until the divorce was final.
Welcome to Divorce of the Future.
He will say anything they give him. It doesn't matter.
Did he peel the sunglasses off when he said
was
it?
Just, actually, that time he decided to go totally different and just stare at with a laser coming through the shot with the sunglasses on.
He is second. Is this Caruso?
Yes.
Caruso is second on my We Couldn't Hang list, right under Billy Bush. It's just, I've never met either one of them. I've never had an exchange with them. I have no idea what their lifestyle is like, but he is just nipping at Billy Bush's heels in my We Couldn't Hang.
Are you saying that if I brought in a couple more clips, he could?
Of the future.
If I bring in a few more clips, he could unseed Billy Bush?
Yes. Caruso could. What people thought was an unbeatable, he was the Bob Beeman of We Couldn't Hang. Nobody would ever beat that record. I think Caruso could take in. Wow. And I've never met either one of them. I just sniff the TV sets. Like, he's on the TV and I'm like,
Caruso.
We could never hang. And I'm sure he's delighted that we could never hang.
I'm sure it keeps him up nights, as a matter of fact.
I feel like the director of those shows goes, I got this idea. You're going to come in here. He's like, no, I'm going to be wearing a black suit, black shirt, sunglasses. I'm going to say it like this. And they just go, oh, okay.
But we're on a fishing boat and it's the middle of July in Miami.
Don't question.
I know the character.
Black waiters.
Black tackle box, black fighting chair.
I will remove the sunglasses to reveal another pair of sunglasses.
The funny thing is, we were actually just talking about this with when Adam said, because I'm staying at my house through the entire divorce. And I was asked seriously if we were taping off the house like in a Brady Bunch episode and you can't step over the tape line. Right.
Every sitcom I saw growing up, at a certain point, the roommates or the husband and wife or the kids would get in a fight. They would split the house down the middle. And then, of course, there'd be a party and the bathroom would be on one side. And they'd say, your friends can't come over to my side. I just miss that. Either pretending like the house is haunted.
Yeah. Right.
Split the house down the middle, and then later when Gretchen wants to sell and you want to keep the house, you pretend like it's haunted. You enlist the kids. They help you. Gretchen ends up finding out. You both fall back in love with each other.
Perfect.
Okay, if that'll work out, I will do that.
Then you get loaded and dismember her corpse and hide it under said house.
VH1 is so pissed because you just mapped out the next three seasons of Breaking Bonaducci.
Okay. Can I tell you how many people want that?
Yeah.
They're knocking down my door to see what happens to me next.
Matt Hasselbeck is on the phone.
Ah, one of the greatest quarterbacks in the NFL is having to listen to this.
Matt, good to speak to you.
Wow. What are you guys talking about?
I have no idea. I love you, Matt, as a
non-sexual.
Right. But Joel McHale from The Soup on E, he loves you. You understand?
In a non-sexual way.
No. In a nothing but sexual way.
It's all the different loves in the Greek. agape love.
Eros.
Eros.
Greco. Greco active.
He's the savior. He's the savior of Seattle.
Yeah, Matt, you got to understand that Joel hails from the Seattle area, so he's a huge Seahawks fan.
Okay.
And we're all big Seahawks fans over here. They're a very easy team to root for. They're not hateful like those Patriots.
Well, you don't like Boston fans, Adam?
Oh. Matt, what's up with you?
Well, we're just kicking it here in the Pacific Northwest. It's not raining today. I just had shoulder surgery about 12-13 weeks ago, and that's going well. And we start our first mini camp on Friday. So
mini camp on Friday, and you're doing a quarterback and receivers camp of your own, yes?
I am. Yeah, that's the one thing. I think it's important to do stuff like that. I remember as a kid, I got the opportunity to go to some basketball camps or football camps or professional athletes. So we do a camp here in Seattle every year. We got a lot of kids here from Washington, but we get some kids from out of state as well for high school kids, quarterbacks and receivers. And it makes you realize how hard it is to coach when the kids you're trying to coach don't want to listen to you. So
yes.
I kind of know what Coach Holmgren probably feels like coaching me sometimes.
Well, you do that. I played quite a bit of football, and it used to be the coaches, if you screwed with them, would grab you by your face mask and start shaking you around. And then I had one guy like to chew out. He'd pull his chewing tobacco out of his mouth and throw it at you.
Wow.
You now will get sued. In the day, it was a super heavy set guy wearing tight bike shorts and a clipboard. And he just called you a pansy all day long and said you're getting blown out like an ass through a tin horn. I don't think you can do that anymore.
Well, you can do it at the professional level.
Oh, you can.
Yeah, so that guy you're talking about is probably a coach in the NFL.
Oh, he's
right
probably working
he's
for the Seahawks.
Probably shorts
that
all have.
Yeah, somebody invented a pair of shorts, which were essentially hot pants for fat, white, middle-aged guys.
Big mistake.
They're made of like spandex
like a baseball
or lycra
pants that have been cut short
and super tight. And they knew their clientele because they had a double snap up top. They knew they were dealing with fat men who had huge guts that were spilling over. And the guys would stuff the clipboard in the back of the pants and then walk around yelling, tying is like kissing your sister.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
Speaking of sister, your sister-in-law, Elizabeth Hasselbeck, just announced that she's pregnant. So congratulations to you.
Yeah, that's big news. I need to get in the loop when she announces that stuff because I knew a couple weeks ago and then apparently they went public with that, and then I start getting phone calls and emails. It's like, seriously, leave me alone.
Well,
how
many people think you're married to her and not your brother?
A lot of people do. You know, that's one of the most common things I get with older women that I see in public. They say, oh, I just love your wife. And I say, well,
when in fact, Matt's married to Joy Behar.
Are you?
No, Star Jones.
Nice.
Now, how glad, do you speak to Elizabeth much, and And if so, please be honest when she said how glad she was Rosie was hitting the bricks.
You know what? I mean, Elizabeth is, like, seriously the sweetest little girl ever. And she just, I think she truly and honestly does like everybody that she works with.
So you're going to teach people how to throw a spiral and lie during interviews? Wow.
What's it like to just lie to Adam Carolla?
Liars can't.
Easy.
You can almost hear it in his voice. Like, how do I phrase this lie?
Plus, he knows he's on the phone and we can't see him, so you should see the facial expressions he's made.
He's crossing his fingers and toes.
Matt, I've told this to many people. When you want to say something horrible about somebody and you don't want to say something horrible about something or somebody, you just say their name twice. You go, what do you think? You do this one. You go, Joel McHale, salt of the earth, greatest guy in the world. Teresa, fantastic, love her to death. Rosie's Rosie. Just say their name twice. We'll all know what it means.
All right, well, Rosie's Rosie then.
Yes. Well, for that, you get a plug,
yes,
my friend.
Yeah.
We got Matt Hasselbeck's quarterback and receiver camp. Last year was just quarterback camp, but they had to go chase the balls. So eventually they brought the receivers.
Yeah, part of the camp was missing. Year. You know, we forgot about that.
Right. Now, this is for high schoolers, and you're going to be there, and it's hands-on, right?
Yeah, it's, it's not just myself, but it's a lot of my teammates, and actually some of the Seahawks coaches, and some coaches at the collegiate level are going to be there talking to the parents. There's rules about them coaching the kids, but they're going to be talking to the parents about, you know, what you can do to help your kid make sure he's qualifying for the NCAA and all that kind
now,
of stuff.
Now, is this a money-making endeavor, or is this philanthropic?
It is. It's both. You know, we're making money for Terry. So we don't keep any of the money. Nobody makes profit. And all the money that we raise goes to about three charities every year we pick. Last year, I think it went to Children's Hospital, Salvation Army, and Boys and Girls Club of Bellevue. Actually, it was four, and Young Life of Seattle. So this year, there's three different charities that we're going to give to. And really, you know, we raise money, but I think the best thing that we do is we kind of invest in these teenagers' lives and basically, you know, let them know that, hey, you guys are leaders in your high schools, you're leaders in your families, and it's time to step up and act like grown men. You're not boys anymore, and the decisions that you make now are very important. So
just do me a favor. When you address them, you either call them ladies or you go gentlemen, and then you go, but I use that term loosely, and then you laugh, and at some point you yell to somebody, this isn't Leisure World. Because that's all I remember from my Pop Warner playing days.
Leisure World?
Ladies, this is not Leisure World!
Get on your knees, scumbag!
Sometimes when Adam is reminiscing about his high school days and playing football and all that stuff and Pop Warner, and I feel like I did miss out. Just like all those weird, like Geraldo used to tell me and Corey Feldman, well, it's because you had no childhood, that's why you took drugs. It sounds like that sucks, man.
You missed out.
Nobody told me life was Leisure World.
300-pound guys in tight shorts yelling, this isn't Leisure World.
And instead, I just said hi to Ruben and took some lewds, and life was fine.
And thinking water was bad for you.
Yep.
All right, Matt Hasselbeck, thank you. You're doing the Lord's work,
thanks,
my brother.
Man.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Oops.
Was it all you'd hoped?
Well, I think he thinks now that I actually am attracted to him.
Are you concerned?
Well, I just think it's going to be awkward.
I know you're not telling the truth because your mother-in-law is listening.
Yeah.
And she don't want no Quimby married to her daughter. But be honest, you would drop your wife in a hot second, move out to Seattle if Matt
I would
said
go this
the
morning.
Word. Okay, be honest. Joel McHale.
Football.
Joel McHale in studio. Joel, we need to take a break.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. We're just loaded for bear. I want to hear some more of these clips from the soup. Do we have a tease we want to play part of?
Well, yeah, play that news one again.
All right.
News
Oh.
Play
it twice.
You're right. All right. Well, she's coming up, and her show is called Vagina Power.
The wind man is going to also be a noose around the nut.
That's on Spike.
Wow. Vagina Power is the name of my new sports drink. God damn it. I got to get my lawyer on the phone. All right. But look, we'll take a break. We'll be back with Joel McHale next.
The Adam Carolla Show loves Cinco de Mayo so much, we're starting the party 2 days early. Live tomorrow night from the Wave House in San Diego. It's the Adam Carolla Show's Trace de Mayo. The deaf frat guy will hold the first ever Miss Delta Foo pageant. Pro surfer Jenna Putnam rides the wave machine. Oswaldo's got a pinata full of prizes. And someone is going to get engaged live on the show. And if you can't make it to the margarita-fueled madness, you can hear the whole show Friday morning. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Ozzy came over last night, took all my fish and left.
What?
I was saying my wife cooked for the first time in 9 years.
She went to the box with the fire in it?
Yeah, that's what she calls the oven.
Wow.
We have a name for it. And one of those
that's
things.
That's what I call your V.
The box with the oven. All right, what's that flat thing you used to turn over pancakes? Spatula. And the thing you put the pancake on? Frying pan. Hold on, I'm writing. That's how it normally goes at the Carolla house. I ask you not. I came downstairs one day a few years ago, and I caught my wife peeling an avocado like an orange. And I thought, dear God, what have I married? She cooked for the first time in 9 years. Ozzy came over. I just turned around and looked and saw his puss staring at me through the, you know, French doors. And there was Ozzy. It was about 7 o'clock last night. And my wife said, Ozzy, you want to try some of this fish? I cooked, you know, because Ozzy's a great cook. And he misunderstood her. And he took all the fish home with him. And then we turned around and where's Ozzy? Gone. And he's taking the fish.
Now, had your wife seasoned them yet in fish seasoning?
We cooked them. It was all finished. I wanted more, but Ozzy ate it in his truck on
so
the way home.
So she did a nice job cooking the fish, is what you're saying.
She did. She.
So when she cooks, she's good.
But when she cooks, she's bad.
No, it's she doesn't cook, and normally you're thankful that she's
maybe not. Ozzy thought he was trying to protect her by getting rid of the
possibly.
Fish.
Possibly.
How do you get food every day?
I buy it myself. I eat Ozzy cooks.
And do you cook
I eat,
it?
I eat leftovers. Think? Yes. Right. Yes, I eat like a raccoon out of a dumpster. All right, where were we?
Anyway.
Yes, Joel McHale from The Soup, everyone.
Leah Thompson.
Mm-hmm. He's The Soup. Come on, it's on all the billboards.
Are you kidding? Yeah, it's everywhere. They advertise it everywhere.
Ryan Seacrest works there?
Oh. I have to call him Lord Seacrest now. There's a new mandate.
Little Lord Seacrest.
Little Lord Seacrest. He wears robes, flowing robes.
Lord Fontler, bye.
Caroline in the City ended a few years ago.
You are asking me that. No, my favorite show.
Sorry. It's out on DVD. But Leah Thompson? What's her name?
Yeah. Isn't that the same? Isn't
Howard
that
the game? Duck.
Yep, exactly.
That's right.
It's the Kathy cartoons come to life.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, she is doing...
Caroline in the City is the sitcom that plays in the background of your sitcom.
Yes.
It is that sitcom-y. When you That's make funny. A movie right. and they need a sitcom in the background that's going to play just like a sitcom but not be distracting, that's Caroline in the...
Yeah.
That sitcom should have been called Why Bother? Like, really?
7 years of it, I think.
Seven years of Caroline in the City.
Or at least 100 episodes, I'm sure.
Okay.
So, anyway, you're going to be surprised. She is doing movies for Lifetime.
No.
Yep.
No.
This is called A Life Interrupted, and they're in a grocery store, and she loses track of her daughter, and this is what happens.
Crystal, get away from her! What's wrong with you?
Just getting the tomatoes.
I'm sorry. I just was trying to protect...
Not every black guy is a rapist, Mom.
Wow, I think that's a first here set on the Adam Carolla Show.
So, that is how that movie kind of went.
I got it. What? How does it work? I mean, you know, there's Lifetime movies, but do people not have a Blockbuster nearby or basic cable?
Well, like, they keep making them, so they must be making money.
It's a weird, like, it's one of these economic things I don't understand. It costs a few million bucks to make one of these movies. They're never as good as a movie. They're a Lifetime movie. The Blockbuster's filled with these types of movies,
yeah.
And then you can just flip over to HBO and watch a real movie. Who watches this, and how does it work?
Yeah, they have the Lifetime movies on DVD now.
Oh, they
the
do?
The movie stores now.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh. I got to tell you, I would run a sting operation. when I'm in charge, I have a couple ideas.
Which, by the way, will happen someday.
My idea to get deadbeat dads is to do a thing. It's going to be a big sign in front of the Coliseum that says free Raider tickets and cockfighting. And anyone who walks through there is going to be netted and tagged. And he'll just be, it'll be either deported or we'll run him through the computer and we'll get all the deadbeat dads. I am going to do the same sting operation at the Lifetime movie rental place. I see any 50-year-old broad in there, I'm going to dart her and take her to Canada.
Well, who's she hurting?
I don't need her kind. Yeah, but who is she hurting?
Who's she hurting? First off, I guarantee there's a son at home that despises her. Number one. Number two, I don't need those genes passed along if they haven't been already. Understand? She
yes.
may still have some viable eggs.
Yes.
I will remove the viable eggs.
That's fair.
And put
there
you go.
You
sterilize them.
Into the wild. That's, I will tag her.
President Corolla's sterilization program.
I will remove her viable eggs, and then it's right back into the community.
But you know what? It's something about the difference between Corolla and I, because if I were to say to you right now, I'll tell you right now, if I saw a 50-year-old woman coming into Grand Theft Auto Lifetime movie, I'd tag her. It just sounds
different,
so different.
Yeah. Different tagging.
Well, do you have a height of the age range, Danny? And will you go older than just pre-death?
Pre-death.
No.
And not hooked up to too much machinery.
Right. That gets in the way.
And by the way, that's pronounced dead by the coroner.
Okay.
That's not her hovering over her body watching Danny do horrible things to her corpse.
If you don't
that's
hear
an official death.
Time of death.
That's a
sad and tragic.
Call it and get Danny Bonaduce off the body.
Part of this is fairly true. We've established that it's becoming a large joke.
Imagine if you hovered over your body and saw Bonaduce
hovering over your body.
Hovering
you
over
see
your
a
body.
White light, but it's Danny's head.
Ash hitting your cold.
Danny's ass.
The problem is that some of this is true. I have a real issue, and like any girl that would want to do it is pretty good for me.
In her 70s, say.
If it had been a while, sure, and she worked out.
So there's a complicated algorithm between time since your last sex act, age, and other factors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but not by a lot. I mean, if I haven't had sex all day long, it'd be cool if she was like 28, and if I haven't had sex in 2 days, she could be 90. But that's not the point here. The point is that I have decided.
Passionate man.
You know,
the point is I'm taking many images to my grave right now.
Don't go to your grave too
soon.
You
know, Joel's got a real pretty mouth.
Let's go back to the clips.
Okay,
I feel like I need to take a shower.
You know, we're going from Springer to Springer.
There's a show on now about what happens before the Springer show. And it actually is a great show. Mm-hmm. Because they show how they prep the guests.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've seen this.
And this guy is basically the warm-up guy for the guests.
If I see one of you guys with your hands in your pockets, the next face that you're going to see on the stage is my face, because I'm going to run out there and stomp the out of you guys myself, because this ain't no joke. If you pull half of the energy, okay, that I project, you will rock on this show. This is stone cold serious. I ain't joking. Throw chairs through the window if you feel like it. That's what this is about. Don't just say he's never there for me. I swear to God, if that comes out of your mouth, you're going to hear a blood-curdling scream from behind the audience, because the guy with the buttons is going to be beating me to death with a chair.
That's I like that they have Dave Brubeck in the background, though, and his quartet playing a little jazz. Yeah. What is going on? Is this a peek behind the curtain? Is this how it's always worked, and we've just been sort of naive or stupid or didn't care?
Well, that's what I thought, too. Is like, well, why are they showing the man behind the curtain now to show that he's riling up the guests? But at this point, who cares, I guess?
They've run out of steam, and there's nothing left
And everyone just expects people to just start tearing it, fighting and screaming, so why even hide it?
It's kind of in a little way like what pro wrestling
has done.
That's
what I was about to say when they went WWE.
Pro wrestling for years pretended to be a real sport, and now they realize it's just sort of drama with sweaty guys. But it's all right. People love it anyway.
But with wrestlers, though, if you ask them if it's fake, they will just punch you in the face.
That's right. That's their thing.
Well, as
does
a matter of fact,
fake to you?
John Stossel, I believe, is the guy that got his eardrum broken by...
I thought that was Geraldo.
No,
he got hit with a folding chair and whatever else, friendly
but
fire.
But they both have enormous mustaches.
But Stossel.
Right?
Stossel said to a pro wrestler, come on, this is a put on. He's like, you think it's a put on, brother? And he just took an open hand and just slammed Stossel right in the ear and just knocked him down. And I think Stossel got up and he whacked him again.
Well, I actually have a clip of that later for John
Stossel.
Oh, we do? Well, it's built into the bump.
Sure, he'll love reliving that.
He gets whacked in the ear, and that's the one that breaks his eardrum. You can see it.
Yeah.
And he hits the dirt, and he does the appropriate thing. He thinks, okay, the crazy wrestler guy just hit me. He's got his moment. Let me go back to work and look like a real man. And he gets up and sticks the microphone in the crazy wrestler's face, and he goes, boom, and hits him again. And then Stossel is filmed running it down the hallway.
All right.
Are you going to tell us about Vagina Lady?
Yes. All right. There's a new show on television. It's only in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. But I feel like she's going to be an international star. She will be the next Oprah. It is called Vagina Power. Mm-hmm. I don't know her name, but I'm just going to call her Vagina Lady.
It was a working title of The Man Show, by the way.
Oh, was it really?
Mm-hmm.
This is one of two parts.
And they meeting up with other women, or they trying to hook up with another woman to get it out, to ration a piece of it out, just like they rationing out damn government cheese in the project.
Government cheese in the project?
You know how they would have them big old blocks of government cheese, that long fix. Just stack of government cheese, that hard cheese. It was good, but when you eat it, it constipates you, run all up in you, lock your bowels up.
That is not a real person.
We have officially too many channels now. There's just too many TV channels.
What channel is that?
This is on in Atlanta, and she's going to be huge.
She's going to be huge.
Well, now listen to this final one. It's my favorite.
The wind band is going to also be a noose around the nuts. I mean, a true nut bracket to lock them in and keep them in check so they can't give it to nobody else. So a lot of them have not only taken the wedding band off their finger, they done took the wedding band off the nuts. The nuts and the penis running wild and running free to do what they want to do. Oh, excuse me. My mother's here with us. But do you have a comment?
Right. I didn't say nothing.
The more you know. She should be doing PSAs. Forget about talking to your kids. What about the noose around the nut?
She's going to be a huge star.
She also sounds like Anthony Michael Hall when he got drunk in Weird Science.
Give me the key!
Well, they never replaced Star Jones on The View.
Move over, Star. There's a new
she's so much more entertaining, Star.
All right, we need to take a break. Joel McHale, stellar,
as per usual,
well,
my brother. Having me. Thank you for promoting the soup, which he refuses to.
And as coincidence would have it, John Stossel, the man who got whacked in the head. And again, it wasn't one of these, oh, come on. It was a, oh, my God, this is scary. I mean, when that wrestler smacked Stossel in the head,
it
was really serious. We'll talk to John Stossel next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci. And now some classic audio with John Stossel interviewing pro wrestler Dr. Death David Schultz.
I'll ask you the standard question.
Standard question.
I think this is fake.
You think it's fake? What's that? Is that fake? That's open hand slap, huh? You think it's fake?
Yeah, he hit him.
Huh?
Twice.
What do you mean?
Might hit it again.
You think it's fake? What's that? Is that fake? That's open hand slap, huh? You think it's fake?
Call 866-901 Adam. John Stossel, the guy who got hit, is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Sure, he loves that.
I can't believe he's finally pleased.
I am a huge fan of John Stossel.
You know, it's weird. We did this Outbook August contest with big stars. I consider him like a big movie star. I'm one of Stossel's biggest fans.
I do. I love him too because I watch 2020
constantly.
Every week, and I love it when he sticks it to the man about secondhand smoke or organic foods or whatever the topic du jour is. John,
junk science.
And so you return the favor by sticking it to me with this.
I know.
Is that a painful memory?
About my miss book.
No. Yes.
You got up and took it again. I would be that guy was huge. You couldn't possibly win. You stood back up and you took another one. I'd be proud of that moment.
Well, I didn't know he was going to hit me again. If I knew that, I would have.
Learn how to take a compliment. Say, damn right I did.
Did he puncture an eardrum?
No, he did hit me with a cupped hand, which his tag team partner told me is a way they try to do permanent damage to someone. And I had ear pain and loud noises for a while, but it went away.
And you later sued and won, right?
Yeah, and actually, I went to a doctor as part of the suit. They make you do that, and that was the doctor for the World Wrestling Federation. And he said, I think this is a gerosomatic illness. You're holding on to your pain because you're involved in a lawsuit.
Gerosomatic. I never heard that before. That's interesting.
That.
Like psychosomatic.
Interesting.
I got picked off, but the guy was right. After the suit was over,
cleared up.
The pain gradually went away. And I think it's just one more unintended consequence of all those of lawsuits. People hold on to their
pain. But maybe you shouldn't see a doctor from the WWE. Yeah. I'm no doctor myself, but I rarely recommend doctors who are wearing face paint and no shirt under their lab coat. Hey, John Stossel.
Yes.
I Miss Lies and Downright Stupidity is the name of the book. When now you've done a few of these books, have you not?
Just two. This is my last one.
What was the first one?
Give Me a Break.
Yeah,
my favorite. And
I like the part with Mel Carter.
Give Me a Break.
Let's talk about gun control.
We're going to talk about it on 2020 Friday.
You are.
How after Virginia Tech, lots of people said it's lax gun laws. And we looked at it, and the National Academy of Sciences has looked at every gun law. They can't find any demonstration that any of them reduce crime.
Right.
And Washington, which banned guns 30 years ago, had gun crime and regular crime go up. Even as it declined in the rest of America.
Didn't it actually become the murder capital of the world then?
I believe so.
This country.
About the world.
Yeah, but at least nationally.
Oh, I'm sorry, I meant the capital.
Danny looks at the United States as the world, rightfully so.
And rightfully so.
That's right.
And we interview people in prison who say that, you know, we don't fear the police nearly as much as we fear that the guy we're going to rob is packing.
Well, let's face it, if you break into someone's house at night, you're not scared of the cops. The cops are half hour away. Whoever's in there is the guy you should fear, and if he's got a gun, you should fear him a hell of a lot more. My plan is to fly the Confederate flag over my house. Actually drape my house in the Confederate flag. I know it has horrible racial connotations to it, but I don't think anyone would have the huevos to break into a house with a Confederate flag flying.
Does he assume you have a gun?
Yeah, I think he would assume that not only I had a gun, I was
not
cleaning
it.
At the very moment.
It was on me, like in the shower, I was wearing the gun. Yeah.
John Stossel, one of the myths that you bust is about relationships, the conventional wisdom that opposites attract. That isn't true?
Well, they do attract. It's not a myth. And then they attack. Opposites don't make for good relationships. We now have more data thanks to all these internet dating services.
You might have wanted to mention that to me 17 years ago.
tell me more. So at first you attract, and then you get on each other's nerves.
Uh-huh.
Right, and when there are problems, you don't have that basis of similarities to hold you together. As one of the people we interviewed said, it's like similarities is putting money in the bank and differences is gradually taking it out, and you just have a better shot at a lasting relationship.
So,
more similar.
John, if you were ever to remarry, you would marry a woman with a mustache who was attacked by a wrestler?
I'll stick with my current wife.
All right. I'm just saying, hypothetically. So how long have you been married, John?
23 years.
I look at you, and then Teresa, you helped me with this.
I like Teresa's last name.
Strasser.
It's very close to yours.
Too. Yes. Stossel and Strasser together again. I find,
Strasser.
Not in a gay way, but I find John a very attractive man.
Me too, yeah.
And he never gets credit for it. They always do the best looking or the whatever, the hunky whatevers. You don't get it, but and maybe you don't exude raw sexuality, but physically, I find you very appealing, John.
Well, thank you. I'll have to work on exuding raw sexuality.
If you want to learn how, you can learn from the Corolla.
Do 2020 without your shirt on this week.
There's the Congressman Tom Coburn. I interviewed him recently, and there's this woman who writes for the Wall Street Journal named Kim Strassel.
Mm-hmm.
I met your wife yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Confusing him
with
her with, I guess, Teresa and my wife.
A hybrid between John Stossel's wife and, I imagine, the greatest news person on the planet.
Could be.
Strassel.
Is your wife in the news business?
No.
Is she a housewife?
She is a psychotherapist. She got out of the news business because she said it was disgusting.
Does she have time around 2 o'clock today for 50 minutes? I have some issues.
One other.
50 minutes to say hi and explain a few of them.
One other myth, lying downright piece of stupidity is the ethanol from the corn. That fuel, a lot of people think that's the wave of the future, going to save the planet. What's your take on that, John Stossel?
We're sacrificing children to the corn god. It's like a religious fervor, like global warming. And we're covering that on 2020 in our myth show Friday as well. That we would have to plow over just about the whole country to replace foreign oil. Already prices are going up because we're planting more corn. If this was such a good idea, you wouldn't need the government to subsidize it and to force you to do it.
Yeah.
And in addition, ethanol degrades. You can't ship it in pipelines. It has all kinds of side effects that cause it to burn almost as much energy as it saves.
Well, so what do you think, John, the answer is for the alternative fuel of the future?
I'm not smart enough to know, but I know we're not running out of oil. That's one of the myths.
What I like about John, he tells you what doesn't work.
I know.
And
what about organic foods? I see that is part of the myth you debunk.
Is this one that you did on TV?
Yeah, and I made a partial mistake and had to do an apology. But the truth is that organic food is no better.
Yeah.
Even the industry admits it when they're on TV. And in fact, because it's grown in fecal matter instead of artificial fertilizer, it might have more E. coli in it. It may be less good for you.
Well,
it was this episode that he's saying right now. This is another one that make me. It's one of the tricks I use to appear brighter than I actually am. Mm-hmm. I know a certain fact or something. And that's one, the organic food thing. The other one is, didn't you do a thing on a junk science thing about that it's completely unproven about the sugar buzz that you give your kids any sugar before lunchtime, they're all going to go insane.
Yes.
And run around.
I saw that one.
Yeah. So I get to say that to parents, being a parent of a young child now, two young children, all the time. They say, oh, don't give them candy, they'll go crazy. And I hope, there's no real science to back that up. You make me look very smart sometimes, and I appreciate that.
That's good, though. To defend it, you have to explain it, why it's a myth, and that it is true that if they have chocolate, there's caffeine in there, or Mountain Dew, or Coke.
Mm-hmm.
That can speed them up. But the reason people think it's true is because they have the cake at a party, and they're at a party. That's
right.
What makes them
right.
Wonder.
It's the social interaction that's making them sped up.
Right. If they ate candy during a timeout, you wouldn't notice anything.
See,
right.
My 6-year-old brother was the 8-ball.
Right.
Got them all running around like crazy.
Got into daddy's 8-ball again. Well, John Stossel, we'll be watching 2020 as Barbara. Do you hate Barbara Walters, by the way, John?
No. I don't even hate Rosie O'Donnell.
Wow.
Wow. You're a diplomat.
And, John, speaking of politics, Republican, Democrat, it's strange because they're third party, because you come across sometimes like a Republican and another time sort of a libertarian.
I should come across all the time like a libertarian because I'm a pretty hardcore libertarian.
You feel like if no one's getting hurt, we should be allowed to do it. Like, you feel like drugs should be legalized?
Yep.
And taxed.
Prostitution.
Mm-hmm. And taxed. And mm-hmm. run through health departments.
Right.
I agree.
Right.
100%.
Adults should own their own bodies.
Good for you. John.
Government's business.
John Stossel, Myths,
American
Lies,
hero.
And Downright Stupidity.
An incredibly handsome man. Let's not forget that.
Go buy this book. His wife needs a new sofa.
I'm sure she can buy her own sofa. She's a shrink.
John, we'll be watching Friday night on 2020 as per usual.
Excellent.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Bye.
John Stossel.
His wife needs a new couch. If she's your doctor, she can buy herself a new car.
Yeah, or boat, yacht.
Let's see. Next, I think we'll do a little gay walking.
Right on.
It's been long enough. Pre-op board op Bill went to Tribeca with me a few days back. He brought his tape recorder with him, and not only did he file a report from the red carpet, but he also did a New York, special New York East Coast version of gay walking.
Nice.
We'll play that. We got tease? All right.
Who played the villain in the movie Cliffhanger?
Oh my God, the cliff. Don't you remember? My favorite part of Cliffhanger was Sylvester Stallone and Janie Turner. And Janie Turner goes, ah! Slap. And she dies. Really, you know who played the villain in the Cliffhanger? Anyone who spent $10 to watch the damn movie.
Well said.
All right, it was John Lithgow, and that was nothing short of an attack, my gay friend.
Wow.
You do not make fun of Cliffhanger in front of me. I love that movie. We'll take a break. We'll do an all-movie, all-New York version of gay walking next on The Adam Carolla Show.
We
sent pre-op board-op Bill out to the Tribeca Film Festival to ask gay men questions about movies that every straight man should know the answer to. It's Gay Walking on the Adam Carolla Show.
All right. I'm getting $20 out of my wallet. Hold on. Let me talk to the 20.
What are you going to say to it?
Well, it's going to say goodbye to its other friends because it'll never be back again. And I want you to meet your new family. It's called Teresa or Danny's Wallet because I've lost every single time we played this. We tied up last time, but I still was beat in sudden death. And Teresa Strasser, who comes from the land of the gays,
yeah,
San Francisco,
yeah,
basically... 2 months ago, I would have said nobody knows the gays like Teresa Strasser, has been crushed, nay, dismantled
it's
by
painful.
Danny Bonaducci,
yeah,
who is an honorary gay because he wears women's pants that are bedazzled.
Right.
Okay.
Actually, I mostly wear men's pants, but now I have taken to wearing women's underwear.
Yes, you've been kissed into the gay community.
Well, my pants are so tight that regular men's underwear show huge lines.
Right, panty lines.
And I realized that boycott girl underwear don't. So that's what I buy now.
You wear tap pants.
I have Hello Kitty pants.
Look at them.
Very slippery.
Everybody
slope,
eat me, man.
Dude, are you gay?
Do what I want, whatever I want. It may cost me a marriage, but I wear my Hello Kitty pants.
All right, I got my 20 out.
Me too, but now, I mean, he's got his Hello Kitty tap pants.
Listen,
in a bundle.
I got this voice, these guns, and Hello Kitty panties on. Everybody bite me.
You're a homo.
Very rangy.
Damn right.
Bonaducci, you have your 20 out as well. All right, so Bill, the board op, went to Tribeca. He did a special movie version of Boardwalk. It's called Gay Walking. Sorry.
Gay Walking.
Gay. Bill wants to know if you know all the things straight guys should know. You're homosexuals. It's time for Gay Walking, because you are gay.
Tip of the hat to Jay Leno. Little gay walking for you. Let's start with our first question.
All right. When We Were Kings is a movie about what sport?
Teresa, When We Were Kings.
It's a documentary. He knows it.
You feel like the gays don't love boxing, but they do love documentaries.
Yeah, that's
thus,
my thinking.
We win by default. Danny?
I think that was such an artsy-fartsy movie. And every gay guy I know is pretty artsy, and the fartsy part's kind of weird, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to go with they know.
Plus, Bill told me he rented When We Were Queens last weekend. When We Were Kings, does he know boxing? I go yes. We all three go yes.
I'll see if they ask.
All right. When We Were Kings is a movie about what sport?
When We Were Kings, because they're thinking about their queens, which we love a good queen.
Who doesn't? No. When We Were Kings.
What sport?
What sport?
Soccer?
Damn, guys.
Damn
those gays. I can't get my finger on the pulse of the gays. I can't. They're wily.
Oh, I gotta give them a try.
Wily gays. I can't track them.
Well,
I need a gay Indian to put his ear to the ground and go, gays move. Many gays and chaps move this way. Maybe two nights travel. You know what I mean? I can't figure anything. I put my ear to the ground, I get run over by a horse.
I think the lesson here is that not all gays are the same.
That can't be it.
Yes, they are.
That's...
Okay. All black people are not the same. All Jewish people are not the same. All Muslims are not the same. All gay people are the same. They like other dudes.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, we only need one.
Not no, he needs one. Just because we kind.
Did all right. We all lose that
we're
one?
All yeah. Over, but we're tied up. Let's go to the next question.
In Armageddon, Bruce Willis and his crew are sent out to destroy what?
No Uranus jokes, please.
Wrong. Too close.
We don't know if it's the same guy, right? The same.
It is the same guy.
He's kind of a jokester.
But yeah, he makes a joke, but then he attempts an answer.
Yeah, he did guess soccer. I'm gonna say what do you say, Danny?
You want me to go first?
Yeah.
This is not a joke. I really believe that this will help. That the fact that it contains the word ass in asteroid, he's gonna know.
You think?
Yeah.
All right, how about meat and meteor?
I put the ass in asteroid.
Will we accept meteor or asteroid?
Well, when we were kings, was about the rumble in the...
Okay, anything colliding toward the Earth. So, Danny, you say yes.
Say no's. Yeah. I'm going to say no's.
Hmm. I'm going to say no's as well. I know this is boring radio.
So what?
But we all say no's. Let's see.
In Armageddon, Bruce Willis and his crew are sent out to destroy what?
An asteroid! Or an hemorrhoid. You decide.
Or a hemorrhoid. You should actually give that to me.
All right. That did really underline
I feel
ass.
Like handing you my 20 bucks right now.
I appreciate that, but just knowing that that was so dead on is good enough for me, and thank you.
Are we all one out of two right now?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's tied up going into the third round.
Name one of the stars of the Dirty Dozen.
Ooh. Danny?
Well, I'm as straight as a man in Hello Kitty pants can be. And I've got Telly Savalas and Lee Marvin. Are the only two words that jumped to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure if I was given a moment, I'd think of more...
Jim Brown,
because I think he's going to think it's The Great Escape for some reason. I think he's going to say Steve McQueen, so I'm going to say doesn't know.
I was also going to say doesn't know.
I'm going to say doesn't know either, and by the way, Bill rented The Dirty Dozen, but it's a totally different... 12 that he's talking
There's
about.
There's only one actor.
Yeah. We one actor.
And they call him Sanchez.
All right. So now we all agree again, right? Doesn't,
yeah.
Doesn't know.
Doesn't know.
Here we go.
Name one of the stars of the Dirty Dozen.
I don't know. Willa Ford?
She was on Dancing with the Stars.
Same thing.
Okay, so we're still now we're all 2-1.
Yeah, we're
2-1, tied up. Somebody's going to have to zig when I zag here, otherwise we're going to go all locked up. Let's have our next one.
Then I'll just go the opposite. Whatever you go, if you want to go first, I'll take that right now. Whatever you say is wrong.
Okay.
No, I just mean to make it interesting. I'll just go whatever you say. I'll bet against you.
Well, give me a shot.
No, don't hear first.
Who played opposite Robin Williams in The Birdcage?
What? You ask a homo movie?
Well, what if, you know...
Yeah.
Wait, what happened to it? When We Were Kings is about boxing in the jungle, and now he asks a Nathan Lane question?
I don't know that the gays love that movie. I don't know that they love that movie, even though it's about gays.
It's a
gay
movie, but it's for breeders.
Right.
Bill is nodding yes. Yes?
Yeah, mostly the straight people love that movie.
That's
more
what
than
I am thinking.
So we're going to ask a gay question and talk to the guy who played. Is that how we're working this Corolla?
That's a good point. I'm going to say he knows.
I'm sticking by my guns. Whatever you say is wrong. He doesn't
I'm
know.
Going doesn't.
All right. Doesn't, I do knows.
Who played opposite Robin Williams in The Birdcage?
The closet gay, my favorite one, Nathan Lane. Nathan. And when you say Nathan Lane, you got to go Nathan Lane.
Knows his whole life story.
Tip of the hat to the gay guys for smiling.
What happened to the concept of the game right there?
What do you mean?
Isn't that you ask gay guys things gay guys would never know?
I feel like I'm taking crazy
The
pills.
Answer is Nathan Lane. The question was gay.
Yeah. Yes.
There's rules, mister.
Hey, not every gay got that answer correct, though.
See,
that's right.
Thank you.
Honestly.
It's only 99 out of 99 and a half.
75%.
Can we still come back? We have one more to tie
Hold
it up.
Hold on. You've shamed the sanctity of the gay walking game, sir.
I'm very upset.
All right. So now... You guys are 2-2. I'm 3-1.
Yep, we're down one.
And we go into the final question.
Name one Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
I'm going to go first to make it fair for you guys. One hand, an action hero, not the genre that the gays love. On the other hand, a guy looked pretty damn good in his underpants.
The muscles from Brussels, yeah.
Yeah. Although he had these movies that were sort of forgettable by title.
Can you name any?
The Double Impact and stuff. They all sounded like gay porn, really, if you think about it. What were they? Do you remember?
He did the Legion, which is about the French Foreign Legion. He did Double Take, where he fought his own twin. He did, let's see. I was a big fan for a while. I was a big fan until, I forget the guy's name, but the bouncer at Scores, who's now famous. the somebody's got
to
know.
Didn't
this
he hook up with Rodman to do something?
Where's my phone, you fat ass?
Famous Hell's Angel and Jean-Claude Van Damme said something to him and he knocked him out with one punch in the middle of a crowd. And I said, okay, you're done as an action hero. Chuck Zito.
Yeah.
Knocked him out with one punch.
I am going to say he does not know the name of a Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Okay, this is
movie.
The only way I can get back is to disagree, right. Even though by inclination I agree with you, but just to make the game
for
interesting.
For strategy's sake.
I will disagree with you. So whatever
will,
you said.
He will know. Teresa?
Yeah, this guy's pop culture knowledge has been excellent so far, but I'm going to go with Danny.
Okay, so I say doesn't know, you say does know. Here we go.
Name one Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
Oh, no, you can't. The only thing about Jean-Claude Van Damme, well, I don't know when. Well, doesn't he beat women?
Was he the pacifier?
No, that was the other cute guy. No, he did that movie with the woman and tried to save the children. And Bloodsport.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Where did that come from?
He did a movie, one of his first movies called Bloodsport.
Second pox.
He played a real person by the name of Frank Duke, spelled D-U-X, who hails from the Valley, and it was after his Vietnam days when he went over to Asia and fought in full contact to the death tournaments.
But do you understand what that was there? That was time running down on the gay clock. You down by two points. And your guy is dribbling in a circle on his side of the court, and you're just getting up. And
with a tenth
of a second left, he just throws the ball over his shoulder and drains the three from three-quarters court. Wow.
Thank you, Gaze.
It was so... It was done. The $60 had already been spent. Do you understand? I grabbed the 60. I ran down. I bought a 6.5, the rarely seen 6.5-foot sub, and I consumed it.
You know, I always... Not that I wonder what Michael Lynch does for a living. He's a writer, but what he writes, I think, is open to interpretation. He
just
held up a big
that
sign
too.
That said three-way.
Yeah, I thought... I
three-way tie.
See? That is just... I'm very long with
we have a tiebreaker.
Do we have a tiebreaker?
We have a three-way tiebreaker.
Oh,
wow.
Snake bit by the gays once again. Once again.
Not by a good one.
I tied last week and then, okay, let's do the tiebreaker.
By the way, worst gay porn name, Bloodsport.
Yes. Yeah. Let's do the tiebreaker.
Which is the gayest number, 1, 2, or 3?
Oh, no.
I know the answer.
You do?
You got to go first last time with the heads or tails.
So
what do you
go.
Say?
But he knew it was tails. 1, 2, or 3. The gayest number. 3. Threesome. 1. I'm going to go 3.
I'll take 1.
1 is the loneliest number that you ever saw.
Mm-hmm.
2 can be as sad as 1. It's the loneliest number since the number 1. That homo knows that song, so 3 has got to be the gayest number.
Oh, from your filthy mouth
Wait
to God's
second.
Ears.
Who has what? It's got to be a tiebreaker. I've got 1.
I've got 3.
I've got 3.
You need 2.
Danny.
That's the concept of a tiebreaker.
It's going to be an interesting after-show meeting, yes.
Well, wait, what? I automatically have to take...
Well,
unanswered.
Remember last week when
we
you won?
A coin?
No, we didn't flip a coin. You said tails.
And the guy said tails.
Right. I took heads so that we could go to break.
Fair enough. That makes, okay, with 3 ways, because it was only a 2-way tie.
Right.
There were 2 options. This way, I see there's only 1 option, so I will take the number 2.
That
Come
is,
on, one.
Mighty Whitey.
But I'm going to go with number 2, being a pretty gay number 2 now.
Right.
I think about it.
That's good.
I have no idea what the answer is, so let's hear it.
Which is the gayest number, 1, 2, or 3?
Well, I would think 3.
3!
That's the end?
You know...
Take it.
Yes, I know. Look, this is not nearly as satisfying as I felt like I'd be on top of the world, and I feel dirty now.
Kissing your sister?
Bonaducci wanted to go with 3.
No, but that's not fair. I just didn't understand that in a 3-way tie, we had to pick selective. You know, when we did heads or tails, it was
I would feel bad or worse, but last week we tied as well, and I let you go first.
Absolutely,
and you got
fair enough.
The odds
and
on
that was easy because I said any gay guy is going to say tails to be funny.
Right. All right.
Gay walking. Because you are gay.
Well, gays, I'm back.
The love affair has, you now are officially the wind beneath my wings. God love you, guys. Okay. I know I've said a lot of harsh things over the years, but I am loving on you hard right now.
Only T, one of us yes. is wearing Hello Kitty boycott panties, ladies. Okay.
T, what do you got? What's coming up in the news, baby doll?
Speaking of gays, Ellen DeGeneres explains her injury. You know, she's been doing her show from a hospital bed, and a story that will make you never, ever want to pick up crack, even if you were thinking about it.
We'll do that next on The Adam Carolla Show. Girls
now. And now, The Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
Getting over-tweezed eyebrows to grow hair again, Monday at 11.
That's a great moment in local news. Now back to The Adam Carolla Show.
Good times. Fuck yeah.
You got $60 in your pocket. Actually, 20 of it was yours.
No, man.
Yeah, sorry I didn't rain on that parade.
Damn, I spent 60. But yes, I am the king of the gays for 1 week, everyone. Tell the world, Adam Carolla, king of the gays. All right, T?
Yes.
Queen of the lesbians?
Just that one night in Prague.
You ready to do the news?
Sure am.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
Speaking of kings, Larry King is celebrating 50 years in broadcasting. He's having some incredible guests on his CNN show this week, including Oprah Winfrey, who dropped a bombshell about the future of her show.
What do you want to do?
Well, there's several things that I really want to do. I'm on the air. I have like 4 or 5 more years left on my show. And when I'm done with that contract, I'm going to be done. I'm going to be done. When I'm done, I'm done.
We have an announcement.
No, it's not an announcement. I'm just saying, when I'm done, I'm done.
Do you realize that means there's 5 more years of Oprah and then no Mas?
And by the way, that's like 30 years of anyone else. Those are dog years. Oprah years.
I'm very sad, but what do you think she's going to do after that?
Philanthropic crap.
Yes.
Should we take a listen?
I hope she goes out to the sea and sinks herself and makes a natural reef for
Please
the fish.
Please don't even say that.
That's what I like, because if I hear my wife say, Oprah said... Oprah says.
Here's what Oprah says.
I can't
says.
Make a move. Let's hear it.
I feel strongly that I want that my so-called, the legacy, you know, everybody uses the word legacy. I want the work, the body of work for that show to have been not just for myself, but for all the people who watched me and have grown up with me. Now, I'm sure you get it, too. People say, I've been watching you since I was 4. But I want to
They're
have changed the laws.
Yeah.
The laws, state by state. For child predators in this country. That's what I want to have done. And I won't be satisfied until that is done.
She's going to now help change the state and federal laws to prevent child predators from striking.
We don't have laws for that?
They aren't good enough. Ask
Chris Hansen. No, she's going to change them to make them okay.
Oh, I see.
See, the law right now is you can't molest a child. Does that sound like I'm right?
She wants you to get the keys of the city.
You think I'm right, right? The law would be that you can't molest a child. And if she's going to have that changed, it would seem to me, obviously, and only Oprah has the cause to make it okay.
Modified, maybe.
Yes. I believe the problem is that laws vary from state to state, and she wants the laws to be federally mandated and therefore uniform.
Pedophile.
That's the problem. The kid mandated, and now everybody's in trouble for
Hold on. New twist on pedophile.
Yes.
Oprah buys the island. Yes.
Yeah.
Her and Gail are touring the grounds when the pedophiles get loose from their cages. Of course, they have no interest in Oprah being a large, heavy-set woman, but they hold her hostage until the Cub Scouts are delivered on a platter.
I love that. I got a
pedophile. A new contemporary twist.
I was kind of go, here goes Adam on his pedophile freakout show one more time, and then said... On a platter.
It's the year 2014. Oprah's done her last show. She now buys an island. Okay, this is good stuff. Keep going, T. I'm going to tune out and write this out.
Okay. Well, why is this day different from any other day?
Is somebody talking?
No, the problem is we listen to you other days.
Right.
Take your break. Go.
From one talk show to another. Ellen DeGeneres has a show, and you may have heard she hurt her back recently. She explained what happened, and mind you, she was doing her show from a hospital bed.
Hold on. You should do a story about Ellen and her back.
How can I work under
I'm
these...
I'm beating out pedophile.
All
Keep
right.
going.
I'm telling
Ellen's,
you, you're messing up the story.
Yeah.
Right.
Ellen hurt her back. She tried to pick up her dog, and she tried to jump from one parking lot level to another, and she wrenched her back. And anyway, here she is from her hospital bed on her show discussing the incident.
So, and this is not a sweep stunt or anything like that. This is not like that egregious what he did, that whole bypass surgery. But I'm on pills. And so... So anyway, so that's the deal. And ironically, this is the I Like It show. It's all about things I like. And I like being in bed, but not when I'm forced to be in bed. This is not how I like it.
How do you like it?
Well,
I sure best pick up a dog. I've done that.
Really? Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Here's a story. You're going to tune back in, Danny. Yeah. Because
I'm in.
It's about crack.
Sorry.
A 43-year-old man in Seattle named Eddie Mitchell is a former crackhead. He's now been reformed. And in fact, while he was on crack, something horrible happened. A guy poked out his eye with a stick. So when he cleaned up, he saved up enough money to buy a glass eye. It cost $3,500, but he cleaned himself up and he bought himself a new glass eye. A month and a half ago, this man, Eddie, was at church. He was talking to a group of crackheads. He was trying to help them to break their addiction.
Why is a glass eye $3,500?
It must be custom made.
I guess they must match your whatever, but
right.
It seems like you just put a marble or something.
No,
they're not round.
Oh.
They're like, think of it as
elliptical?
Eighth of an inch thick, maybe even a little more, giant contact lens.
Oh, really?
Got it.
Interesting.
You put them in the socket and up. That's not a big hole like you think in the movies, like a cue ball with an eye paint on it.
It's
not like that at all.
I
had a waiter at Sushi on Sunset when I used to work there.
Yeah.
That was like a real nut, not a play nut like me, but the real deal. And God told him to take his eye out, so he did.
No.
Yeah, so he used to take his glass eye out of work and clean it all the time.
Well, this man was talking to
a glass eye. I would put my cigarette out on it almost every day in front of people. Yes, Dan, put your cigarette out on my glass eye.
That would
freak out the crowd.
That'd be a fun trick. Well, this man was trying to talk to a group of crackheads at a church, talking about his own experience, trying to give them some hope. And to make a dramatic point, he popped out his eye and he put it on the table and he yelled, "This is what crack cocaine does to you." And that's when one of the crackheads ran up and snatched the eye off the table. Why? Because he thought it was a crack rock. He was in a crack-induced haze. But perhaps some of Eddie's message had gotten through to the crackhead because he didn't smoke the glass eye. He found some willpower, and he flushed it down the toilet.
That's what happened to me and my dog's nudicle. I don't want to have to explain what that is, but it's a very long story. Very long story.
I've got so much
to say. Grotesque as well.
Yes, please. Well, just in closing, this man's eye has been flushed down the toilet. He doesn't have $3,500 to buy another one, and now he has to wear an eye patch.
Well, I got to say this. First off, there's two eye patches. There's the weird flesh-colored adhesive back ones that has the gauze out that seems like, what the hell? What happened? A junkie scratched you with an acrylic nail?
That's my mugshot.
And then there is the silk black one that the Barclay man wears on the French Riviera. For Christ's sake, people, if you're going to wear an eye patch, wear the silk black one. You go from junkie to cool in a tenth of a second.
Can I tell you right now, some of my outfits actually came with an eye patch.
That's right. He shops in the Pirates section of the brass rail.
All the skulls that I am wearing today.
Yes.
You don't think I have one or two eye patches at home?
Do you wear them out?
Yeah.
Do you have a Hello Kitty eye patch?
Nope, but I'll tell you something later.
All right. Point is, wear the eye patch. I wish I needed an eye patch. I'd get the black silk one. I'd be the coolest guy in the building. And number two, I will dedicate $40 of my winning, not 60, because 20 is mine, as Danny pointed out to me.
To this man?
To this man's eyeball.
You know, maybe we should try to raise some money for this guy. He's
a
recovering.
I was kidding, team. Move on to the next.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay.
Shine him. He's a crackhead.
Lastly, and I will make this quick, if you are in Brazil and you're bitten by a Brazilian wandering spider, good news and bad news. Bad news, it's a very painful bite. You'll have to go to the hospital. The good news, the venom won't kill you, but it will give you an erection.
Thank you. Now I can sleep tonight.
Yes. It's more effective than Viagra. It will last for many hours. It works on men who don't have success with Viagra. And now that scientists are figuring this out, they're going to try to harness the venom and use it to make the next generation of pills for erectile dysfunction.
How hard can it be, though, to harness the wiener of a little spider?
And who's going to suck out that venom?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good point. The Medical College of Georgia is working with Brazilian wandering spiders.
Listen, you people. Brazil, you make me sick with your boners. We have something called cancer, and it's kid brother AIDS. Let's focus on that.
Okay.
By the way, like, you guys need to get a boner over there? Everyone walks around their underpants oiled up with glitter on them.
Well, after having free plastic surgery given out by the government.
Yes, you are the last country we need to get a boner. You guys are doing enough boner damage for the rest of the world. That's right.
On American Idol tonight, two people will be eliminated. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. QCNN.
And let me say this, Brazil. You're lucky I can't find you on a globe. Because if I could, it'd be ass-kicking time. Do you understand? You're lucky I think you're in Mexico. Do you understand me, Brazil? All right. Enough
said. Wax. I'll give them that.
We'll take a quick break. When we come back, Jake and Dick, Line and Kugel, who are these guys? They're beer makers. They make beer, and they brought a lot of it. We're going to talk to them about what they do, what the process is, and how it works next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome. You're listening to Adam Carolla, bitch.
Jake and Dick Leinenkugel here from the Leinenkugel Brewery. They got their own handcrafted beers. They brought them with us. Seventh oldest brewery in the U.S. started in 1967. So you guys,
1867.
I'm sorry,
140 years.
I'm sorry.
I was thinking some of the, you know, the first guys, the guys that signed the Declaration of Independence. Some of those guys started breweries. Yeah, so I was thinking,
you know, absolutely,
yeah,
sure.
You gotta go that far back.
George Washington had a brewery.
I didn't want to say who any of them are because they're probably competitors. But
not going to say any of those other guys.
Your great-great-grandfather started the company.
Jacob Leinenkugel, yeah.
That's awesome.
Wow. You know what's nice about the beer part is it doesn't quite have the stigma that the alcohol has. I mean, if you guys are making scotch or vodka, you're causing people to wrap cars around telephone poles. But the beer just feels like you get a nice buzz, and yet you get to be noble.
Well, you know that beer is responsibly consumed by over 80 million Americans. It's a beverage of moderation. It's a beverage of celebration.
Yeah.
Families get together, picnics, ball games. In fact, you can find Leinenkugel Sunset Wheat at Staples Center. Might have one more game there, maybe.
I think
you
have.
And at Dodger Stadium.
You know, it's nice that these places are getting on board with the more gourmet foods and the better beers. We don't have to drink Coors Light and eat generic hot dogs.
Yeah, it's nice to drink a regionally produced beer.
Did you guys bring in something for me to taste?
We did. We brought in the new one that is being released right now throughout Southern California, and it's Leinenkugel Sunset Wheat. This is a Belgian wit style of beer. Adam, I'm going to pass this around. You're going to see it's a little cloudy, hazy with the wheat, and also a great herb spice addition is coriander in this beer, which gives it a very neat, unique flavor.
It's Dawson.
Hold on, Bonaducci. You don't know what you're missing, brother.
Well, see, and I want to bring that something up. Go ahead. And why don't you describe in a spokesman type way, in like 10 seconds or so, how you would sell that beer?
It's not harsh. It doesn't bite you. There's a lot of people that don't like beer because of the aftertaste or because it puts hair on your chest. There's a lot of women that don't like beer because it has a bite to it, a little bitterness, a little what have you. It feels like a heavy-set German guy would enjoy it and everyone else would be too light to enjoy it. But this has a more fruity taste, almost a little sweeter, not as dry, but delightful.
Nice, right, really gentlemen. Good. That was terrific. Now listen to mine. Here's how I would pitch.
Adam, we are
Danny.
Yeah. Ready? We are looking for a sales rep in Minneapolis right now. So we're doing the audition.
Listen to my
pitch,
okay? Hi, my name's Danny Bonaducci, and I'm an alcoholic. I'd cut off my friggin' leg to have a Leinenkugel right now, and you can just have one, and you're sitting there not having one. I'd die to be you and be drinking a Leinenkugel. Get off your ass and get to the store.
Bonaducci, this ain't just brew talking, brother, but you are the best damn co-host guy we have ever had.
That's how it's done.
Hug me, dude.
You can see when I start sponsoring for Pfizer.
I don't want to say this is good beer, but I'm about to put out for Danny.
This is I know. Look, really, what are we going to say? You hand me beer. Am I going to spit it on the ground and go, this is swell, but it's great tasting beer. I'm not a connoisseur. I know what I like. And again, it's one of those things, if beer's a little bit too much for you, this is the right one.
Yeah, I normally don't like beer. Like, you know, if my dad has a Dos Equis, I take a sip and it's too, has too much of a bite.
Let me say this. Move over, wine coolers. There's a new chief in getting the young gals drunk. It's called Leinenkugel. Thank you.
Yeah, it looks great.
I think that was a terrific roll-up, Adam, and how you described this particular style of beer. And the fruitiness and the herb spice coriander in it gives it that type of flavor that you're talking about, and very conducive to warm weather.
Now, how does, give us a little quick history lesson on beer. Comes from Europe, right?
Well, beer actually originated in 6000 BC, ancient Mesopotamia. They probably left some pots of grain sitting out in the wild yeast, combined with the water and the grain, and formed this cereal malt beverage, which they called beer, B-I-R. And then, fast forward to medieval England, they brewed those malty, just ale styles of beer. They were probably brown and cloudy.
Is that when the Real Men of Genius campaign was launched? It feels like it's been a few thousand years.
The Germans, the Mayans had a great beer. The Mayans had an excellent beer. Beer's been around for forever.
Mr. Inventor of Wheel, we salute you.
Now that they really didn't discover that single-cell organism till the 1700s.
Hey, Mr. Fire Inventor.
Yeast.
Right.
And, of course, yeast being that magical ingredient that actually eats the maltose sugar and makes that wonderful product that we call alcohol.
Is it, am I right to say that the handcrafted stuff slash maybe microbrews are having a real nice renaissance here in the United States? It seemed like growing up everyone was just drinking Schlitz and Coors, and now people have found these smaller, more boutique breweries.
There's no question that that is true, Adam, and it's taking place in a much bigger way than what we ever thought was going to happen, but there's a whole new generation of beer consumers that absolutely want something different. Mm-hmm. They're really looking for things that have different flavors, aromas, and tastes than the old standard American lagers.
In my opinion, that's people that are they love beer and are tired of being looked down on by wine connoisseurs.
Well, Jake, how many calories is in this? Can I drink this with
There's less than a half a bag of potato chips as far as calories, and just a little bit more than water. So you're more than safe as far as the chloride content.
And if you get the fries at lunch, you can have two.
Now, what is the name of the one I'm drinking one more time?
Yeah, that's the Leinenkugel Sunset Wheat. That is the brand that is actually being released and introduced to California right now as we speak. And as Dick said earlier, I mean, there are 34 draft lines right now at the Honda Center while the Anaheim Ducks are playing so well of Sunset
Wheat. Where else can you find this other than it's
Dodger Stadium?
Dodger Staples.
Going into Ralph's supermarkets. Oh. They've authorized
in the month of May.
And this is I give it my stamp of approval. This is amazing tasting stuff. And by the way, when your name is Dick Leinenkugel, you have to be good at what you do. You know, understand? It's like the old Smucker's commercial.
One of the best friends with the Smucker family.
That's right.
You know what? I better make something that tastes really good.
Yes, you can't make a crappy beer and be named Dick Leinenkugel.
No, you really can't.
You'd be dragged out to the center of town and burned on a stake.
Now, Jake, you could be. Right?
Yeah, Jake Leinenkugel.
I get away with it.
Now, is there another something you want me to sample?
Oh, we happen to have like five or six different varieties of beer.
I love
it. But you
know,
this is really the big award winner. This beer that you're trying right now, Sunset Wheat, just won two recent awards. One at the Great American Beer Festival, and also the World Beer Cup. And no other beer in this category has won those medals, so it's very valid. We want to introduce you to a summer shandy that we're just coming out with in the upper Midwest.
That's my
right
porn
now.
Name, by the way, summer shandy.
Yes. Well, we're the first ones in America to come out with this style of beer. Over in Germany and Great Britain, they've had it out for nearly two decades now. And during the summer months, what happened was they had this nice bike race through Germany back in the 1920s, and this guy was running out of lager beer, so he also had lemonade handy. And
Danny,
you got to get off the wagon,
brother. Isn't like that Otto Kalmer beer?
Very similar because of the lemonade in it.
Oh, that's good.
And it's very light, very refreshing. This beer, unfortunately, will not make it to California this summer. But
how can you do that?
Well,
us?
We're working on our production right now. We're going to need more tanks in Chippewa Falls.
I've never tasted it. It's lemonade beer.
Oh, isn't that great?
It's so good.
It's a vice beer with lemonade flavor.
Oh, it's a vice.
Absolutely delicious.
You know, it's funny, the sales rep out there that you know, put us together with you, because we're all talking about, you know, Adam is a big fan of beer, and he goes to Jimmy Kimmel's house, and they watch the football games, and that's how this all came about. And as I walked in, he goes, make sure to be nice. And now with the lemonade beer, I just like to go out of my way to say, you guys suck!
Well, let me say this in summation because we're out of time. Yeah, I go to Kimmel's house and he has Heineken over there on tap. And Heineken's a fine beer, but it's the antithesis of this. It's a little bitter. It's got a bite. You have to be a real hardcore beer guy to enjoy it. Whereas this is the first sip you're in. I mean, this one tastes... it's like you're drinking lemonade, but you're copping a buzz. What could be better?
You can't get this summer shandy here?
And not this year. Come and see us in Wisconsin.
Well, we're moving the show to Oshkosh, everybody.
Yeah, we'll have it in Chicago, sure.
We need to say goodbye. We're plumb out of time. Jake, Dick, thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Lion and Kugel, everybody. Look, go try some of this stuff and then call me a liar. Try it.
Just have some of this stuff and call me and be a bitch and tell me how great it was.
Absolutely amazing taste in beer. And I got a nice buzz. Karch Karai, Joel McHale, John Stossel, and of course, Jake and Dick. Lion and Kugel will take a extendo break. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo. Adam Carolla, king of the gays.